Radio FUBAR. Radio FUBAR beyond all recognition. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the new greatest thing on the internet, Studio FUBAR.
Does internet porn know you're cheating on it?
With your hosts, the loud one, Matt Reaver.
His mind brain is permanently rejecting his real identity!
Peter Johnson.
I love that I have an erection that didn't involve homeless people.
But for obvious reasons, we call him Pete. Mr. Producer.
I'm spooning a Barrett 50 cal. I could kill a building.
And the only person who can put up with all of this, Mr. Producer's wife, Pink.
Oh, it's like my heart's being gripped by the icy fingers of some terrifying ghost of honeymoon future.
Hey.
We gotta have a beer.
Hate it when you hit the wrong button.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Pam Poovy does not get enough credit.
No.
Who?
She doesn't.
The fat chick on Archer. She's right. The beast.
Right.
They always make fun of her size. It's like, but she's the one that can actually like beat the crap out of anybody there.
Archer's pretty much fucked every single single female on that show besides his mom,
right? I think he has. Well, I don't think he fucked his mom.
That's what I'm saying.
I think he almost did.
It's Archer. It wouldn't surprise me.
No, like accidentally. Like it was,
yeah, that's what I was saying.
Like American Wedding. You know, the room was dark. And
yeah, he got really drunk. Yeah, no, I could definitely see where he would. Where it's Archer. He's just drunk. And
right.
Welcome to the show, everybody. 2 minutes in, incest jokes.
Fair.
Doesn't I want to stop talking? Just continues running at the mouth like verbal diarrhea.
So, so how was your week? 2 weeks. We didn't do a show last week.
Oh, dude, driving for Uber on St. Patrick's Day was fucking awesome.
St. Practice Day, you mean?
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter what it was.
You practiced drinking.
I made $200 fucking dollars.
That's
on
what
it.
I mean. Well, I figured, you know, St. Practice Day for this Saturday. You know?
Yeah. Well, no, they do it. It's always the day before, the weekend before, where all this shit happens.
Oh, okay, well, $200.
Yeah.
Yeah, for one night.
Profit.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean.
I don't know. I keep track of that.
Or $200 in what you get.
Yeah, that's beer fart. Sorry about that.
Why is he killing you? Smoking you out a little bit over there?
Close your legs and point them that way.
Oh, shit.
Fuck.
Over here. Fuck, it drifted 8 feet, man.
It's got the sulfur farts. I hate the sulfur farts.
Oh.
Yeah, right?
Oh, man.
Oh, the window that has never been opened.
Yeah.
He's got to pull it, too. Oh, nerd.
Oh, God.
This is when we find out when the window is broke. Oh, there we go.
I finally officially figured out where the fuck that comes from. It is straight up the dark stout beer fart.
Shut the fuck up, fat man.
That's where it is.
Well, that was an accident, but it works.
Yeah. It's stout beer farts is where those, and I was like, those are gross.
You're the only person I know that farts stout beer that way, though.
You're a disgrace to men everywhere.
Your body converts most things to sulfur, I swear.
Probably. It wouldn't surprise me.
Like, you're the reason Catholics think it's fire and brimstone down there.
Yeah.
What'd be worse than the heat is the smell. That was mean. I don't care. God, that was bad. So, $200.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah. $200 in profit?
Yes, probably like
after gas, like
175, like 175, 180, something like that. It's not a bad night.
Was it like premium rate all day?
No, I just went from 9 o'clock in the morning till like 1:30 at night in the morning. I was in my car for like 17 fucking hours.
Oh,
Pete, oh, good, he stopped. Okay.
What?
We're just picking on you, like, relentlessly.
Do what you were doing a minute ago with your legs.
What?
No.
What? Bounce?
Yeah.
What you're?
Well, no, you're the other one.
Yeah, you're bouncing your right leg, which moves the microphone cord against that little table, and it echoes on the microphone, is what he's saying.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Hear it in the background.
You gotta wrap that crap around the microphone stand.
Let's do it this way.
I don't know why you always let it hang.
There you go.
No, I think it was actually the desk might have been touching the microphone.
Yeah, that sounds... Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, so I had a new worst week ever in driving.
I got to hear this.
Ever. 15 years of driving and this sucked. This is what I get. I told my uncle I'm never doing him a favor ever. Ever again. Because that's what this was. You know, I did another flatbed run.
Yeah.
With, you know, I don't normally run flatbed, but my uncle's moving down to San Antonio from Illinois.
Yeah.
And he had a bunch of farm equipment that he needed moved, you know, tractors, a pickup, a shed, stuff like that. So he originally got a price from a company there and they charged him outrageously. So I said, well, call our company and see what they can do. And he goes, all right. So they gave him a decent price and he goes, okay. So I run it. Because, you know, they give him a break because, you know, family.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Go down to the yard last Friday, not yesterday Friday, but
yeah,
a week ago to swap trucks because I need a truck that's got all the chains and stuff like that and the hangers for it. Hit the road Friday morning, get about an hour and a half down the road, and the oil pressure sensor goes out on the truck.
Ooh.
So all of a sudden the truck is telling me that it's got 110 PSI in oil pressure.
That's not good.
No, because if that was actually true, then you start blowing seals and
gaskets and shit like that. Yeah, okay.
So I call up and I'm like, hey, you know, my truck's reading 110 PSI all the time. I think a sensor went out because it's running fine. It's not burning oil. I don't smell burning oil, you know, like that. I'm like, all right, you know, I'll take it over to Decatur. Swap the thing out. I'm like, all right, so they get in there. It took them about 2 hours, but which it was a little out of the way, but not far. So I ended up getting down to my uncle's about 1 o'clock. I was supposed to be there at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And then it took us about 5 hours to get the thing loaded, mainly because of trying to figure out how to secure his damn pickup truck. There wasn't like normal places to hook the thing. Like anywhere where you'd want to normally hook it, there was brake lines in the way. You know, there was no tow hooks.
Ended up T-hooks in the frame?
Nothing.
Wow.
What kind of truck was it?
It was an old Chevy.
Ha! Take that, Chevy.
So, but anyway, we finally figured it out, and it took about 5 hours, you know. Well, 2 hours of it was actually getting the shit on there because we were loading it at the farm.
Yeah.
And he actually had to call a wrecker, and, you know, a flatbed wrecker, where they would pick it up, put it on the wrecker, back the wrecker up to the trailer, and then we drive the shit onto the
thing.
And then the shed, when we put it in, it's like an 8x12, you know, shed like that.
Yeah.
We were backing that on, and the place we were, it was kind of soft. So I put a couple of boards underneath the landing gear because I had to drop the trailer for them to be able to back up to put the shed on. And the trailer just about fell off of the those wood.
Oh, shit.
Forward. So that and my uncle is sitting on top of the trailer on a tractor because we're using that tractor to pull the shed on from the thing.
Okay.
So, all right. So we get that done. I get it loaded. And then by the time we got done getting loaded, I had like 45 minutes left I could drive. And I originally wanted to make it to like Memphis that day, but I also planned originally on being there Thursday night.
Yeah.
And we would start loading first thing Friday morning, get done, then I could drive. Well, since I didn't get there until Friday afternoon, I didn't get to leave until Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Got about 7 hours down the road, and then my trailer tried to catch fire.
Brakes lock up or something like that?
No, it wasn't the brake. It was the wiring. the light. I went to go flip the lights on because it was starting to get dark, you know?
Yeah.
And all the lights went crazy, and I'm like, what the hell? You know, they either weren't working. Sometimes they would work. Sometimes they wouldn't. Sometimes the turn signals would work. The dash indicators would go out. I'm like, what the hell? So I pull over, and I go to check, and they're all working at this point, but I've got no turn signals. But if I turn the lights off, you know, the headlights off.
Everything came back on the truck. Where
the turn signals would work.
Yeah.
So I call the shop, and initially they're thinking, you know, okay, maybe the headlight switch is going bad. Well, while I'm talking to the shop, all of a sudden I lose all the trailer lights. I'm like, what the hell? And I get out, and right where you connect the truck to the trailer, on the trailer,
yeah,
is smoking. I mean, not a little bit of smoke. I mean,
like we let the blue smoke out of
it. Yeah. Yeah, you let that smoke out that makes electronics work. You know,
yeah.
If you let it out, you can't get it. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I grab the cord, pull it out, and it still keeps smoking for like 10 minutes. I'm like,
oh, shit.
It got a little warm under
yeah,
there.
Yeah, oh, wow.
And of course, this is Saturday at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon in bumfuck Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where the fuck do you find that someone to repair that shit?
Exactly.
In the middle of nowhere,
so I
Arkansas.
Call the shop, and the shop's like, well, you might be there until Monday.
Oh.
I'm like, I don't want to be here until Monday. He goes, all right, well, give me a few minutes. We'll see what we can do. And we had no mechanic, like, in our listing for that part of Arkansas.
Yeah.
He goes, and then I'm sitting there, I'm waiting for him to call back, and like 20 minutes later, a dude shows up, and I'm like, okay. So I call the shop, and I'm like, is this dude supposed to be? He goes, oh, yeah, yeah, I actually found him on Yelp.
Oh, shit.
I'm like, oh, okay, good. So, you know, since you didn't call me back and tell me somebody was on the way, you know.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Would have liked to have known. I appreciate that you found someone so quickly.
This dude ended up pulling about 4 feet of the wiring straight out. You know, there's a big harness.
Yeah.
Because this thing's got to run like 15 different lights and the ABS system on the trailer and all that kind of
yeah.
stuff. So there's a huge harness right behind that plug.
Yeah.
He ends up just grabbing hold of it and pulling it about 4 feet forward. And there's this huge burn mark right
Oops.
In the middle of the harness.
Looks somebody, like it shorted out.
Yeah. Somebody apparently had tried to fix the thing before.
Put some electrical tape on. It'll be fine.
And what they did to fix it, you know, cause I guess they were having problems with light. So they rewired it a little bit. But the part that they rewired, instead of stripping it off, they just gave it a good pull and then taped it off.
Electrical tape cures everything.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
So, of course, it melted
yeah.
everything in there. Well, luckily, this guy kind of knew what he was doing. And he got it fixed in about 2 hours.
That's not bad for a wiring
rewiring
job.
The whole thing, you know.
Wiring jobs are a pain in the fucking
right.
ass.
Plus, you got to remember, it's not like I went to his shop. He showed up in a pickup truck.
Yeah.
And we did it in a parking lot, you know.
Yeah.
And so I call up that shop, and I'm like, oh, thankfully I got rewired here. I'm glad. Thank you for not, you know. And he goes, well, I'm glad that we actually found a real mechanic down there.
You know,
put him on the books.
They did. They're like, because we got nobody within like 100 miles of him.
Well, guess what? Now you do. Yeah. He does good work.
I'm like, all right. So I made it down to San Antonio Sunday evening. Okay.
Not bad.
Supposed to unload Monday morning. Get unloaded. And then the bolt that holds on the bracket that this guy just fixed all the wiring behind.
Arkansas to San Antonio.
Yeah.
In 20 hours. Jeez.
I made it from Olney, Illinois to San Antonio in less than 20 hours of actual driving. I left Illinois. About,
no, I'm just saying for people at home, that's not a small distance. No. Texas is a giant fucking right. state.
No,
San Antonio is on the southern
right. No, the
ass end of it.
The drive was just about a little over 1,000 miles. I left Saturday morning, got down there Sunday afternoon.
You know what's going through my head, right?
What?
When you said 1,000 miles. And I could drive 1,000 miles.
All right.
Sorry.
But, so anyway, I get down to San Antonio. Well, the first thing is 97 fucking degrees down there. This truck that I'm driving, luckily I wasn't in my truck, because my truck doesn't have an APU, but the APU and air conditioner, you know, the battery-powered air conditioner that runs off the auxiliary power unit,
yeah,
couldn't keep up with 97 degrees in the bunk.
That sucks.
So I had to idle the truck.
It's not a terrible thing.
Well, it is when you have an APU on the truck and it says, you know, company policy is you got to be under a certain percent of idle time. Because you shouldn't have to run the truck to... Anyway.
I gotcha.
So Monday morning, guy shows up. We get all the stuff off. And I'm supposed to make it from San Antonio to Dallas. Let's see. The unload time was 9 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be up in Dallas at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is 235 miles, by the way.
It's like
4 hours of driving in the truck.
Yeah.
The backup dispatcher, because the regular flatbed guy was on vacation the week that I left, thought for some reason I could unload a flatbed in 20 minutes. So when I called him up when I got done, then I had to go get that bracket fixed. So that took more time. So I called him up. Now, luckily, the normal flatbed guy was back. And I said, there's no way I'm going to make this. You know, because they stop unloading it. Or they stop loading at 3:30 in the afternoon. If you're not there by 3:30. So I said, well, can I get loaded tomorrow morning? You know, that's happened before. No big deal. And they're like, yeah. And then 10 minutes later, no.
What? And my response was, well, you better make it fucking happen. Because I ain't going to be able to make it by the time.
No. They got me another load. They switched me over to another load. Because they're brokered loads coming back, which means we have to call somebody else and say, do you have a load to get us back?
Yeah.
You know, which happens all the time on longer runs like that. When you go to a place that you don't normally go to, you know, you have to find a load to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, all right, run up to the same place, but now you're going to go to Kansas City and you're going to pick up railroad wheels.
Okay.
You know, the axle and two wheels. They're going up to get refurbished and, you know, like that.
Yeah.
They said, okay, you got to go over to a lumber store and get 2x4s because they're going to have to build tracks to set these things on. You know?
Okay.
I'm like, okay. You know, it's normal that I got to supply the lumber and then they build it, you know. Well, I show up the next morning and I got the lumber and I said, I had to go get the lumber at the place that they told me to. Well, they didn't have it. So then I had to run 20 miles down the road to a Home Depot.
What the fuck?
To get the lumber. Right? Come back, go into the plant, drive the mile to the back, and it said, you have nails?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Never have I needed a supply.
I got a screw
nails.
For you, buddy.
I got a
screw you, screw you.
I got a finger that says, fuck yourself.
I said, never. Have I ever had to supply my own nails?
That's stupid.
Right.
That's fucking dumb.
I'm surprised they nail it, too.
Huh? Wait a minute.
Not screw it?
No, you nail it. It's not...
I know you don't want it to be permanent, but...
No, you're building a platform for them to set on.
Right.
You're not building a platform to secure things in place. You're just building a platform for the rail for the wheels to set on.
You know, I mean, I believe you. Yeah. It's just surprising you wouldn't want that to be more secure.
No.
Okay.
The chains because, that are going to go
because
on
you're
the
putting,
thing.
Yeah, no, you're putting 40,000 pounds of train wheel on top of this wood. The wood's sitting on the trailer, and then the wheel is sitting on it like that. It's not moving. And then you chain it and strap it over that.
Yeah. So the downward force prevents the nails from really pulling too much. Okay.
Right. And so I'm like, okay, so 20 miles back to
the fucking
Home
nail
Depot
job. Yeah.
To get the nails. Drive back to the place. By this time, it's about 1:30 in the afternoon. I'm like, all right. Said, I'm back. I said, all right, did you build? You didn't build it. What do you mean?
All right, you can go fuck yourself now.
Apparently, unlike any other place out there. I have to build the rack to put this thing on. But
you have to fucking do
it. I had to do it. I mean, it's normal a lot of places. Like, this is the first time I've ever actually had to build something to put stuff on. It's not uncommon to need, you know, use wood as bracers or something like that to hold stuff in place. But normally what you do, like if you have wheels or something like that, or you would use wood underneath the load, just basically get it up off the trailer so when they're going to unload, they can come in with a forklift and lift it off the trailer. That's why we carry wood. Don't normally need to build a rack to put shit on. But you can't get on top of your trailer inside our complex. So you got to go back out on the street.
Oh, my God. These guys are fucking with you.
Yeah. So I go back out on the street, and I build this. And now remember, 97 fucking degrees.
Fuck these guys.
So I get the damn rack built.
And I want to get my CDL.
Well, like I said, this is flatbed. It's a completely different it's a completely different animal than van loading. So I get done. It's about 3:40 when I get done. Guess what? They're closed. Come back tomorrow. Now a second wasted day.
You motherfucker.
To make me want to burn this motherfucker to the ground. Come on, Pookie, let's burn this motherfucker down.
Motherfuckers.
So I called. First of all, I called the broker. And I said, I'm fucking leaving. And the broker was cool enough to actually say, all right, we'll pay you layover pay because, you know, they're just fucking with you at this point. Because this was one of those where
so he acknowledged they were just being dicks.
Right.
No, well, you have to build
it. Well, no, no. The funny thing was is that, you know, the broker picked up these loads. They had 10 of them. They're like, you know, the company called this place and they said, we have 10 loads we need moved. And the broker, then the broker finds drivers to come in and grab these loads. Well, the shipper sent him a diagram of the thing that needed to be built. Didn't say anything about the driver building it. Didn't say anything about materials needed other than wood. You know, so there's all kinds of safety gear, too, by the way. You know, hard hat.
Oh, vest. These are the wrong kind of straps. You need to go get new straps from Home Depot.
Right.
Fuck you, dude. Give me a list now.
Well, that's what I did. I called the roper back, and I said, here is the actual definitive list of stuff they need, and yes, they need to build it before they get there. So, I was the first one to go pick up one of these loads for them, so they were just as ill-informed as I was. You know, the broker.
Oh, I understand. The broker, yeah.
So
yeah, this company's a big
I would have been building it, but the entire time when I'm looking at those guys, what exactly are you paid to do other than send people to the store? what do you do here?
So I come back the next day, and I finally get loaded. And then from there, everything got better. Well, no, I take that back, because I had to run that up to Kansas City. I get up to Kansas City.
We call that the Kansas City Shuffle.
Yeah.
Get up to Kansas City. Walk in there. You know, here's my bill saying I got, you know, axle sets out here. And I said, all right, back up to this ramp. I back up to the ramp.
Did you bring a forklift?
No. It's even better than that.
It's better than a forklift. Oh, this should be great.
I back up to the ramp. And then I proceed to do what you normally do with a flatbed load. Once you've backed into the place where they tell you to go, you unchain your load so they can unload the fucking trailer, right?
Yeah.
Well, I unchain the load, then somebody comes out and says, you're in the wrong place. You need to be on the other side of the building.
Lick my balls.
Fuck me.
You motherfuckers.
Right.
You motherfuckers.
So when I came in here and said, I have this, and they said, go here, you lied. No, you bring the shit over here.
You
pieces of shit.
And then, so I finally get that. That actually wasn't that big of a deal. I just kind of loosely threw a couple of chains back on to keep it from falling off. And then crept around the building really slow.
You go to the other side, and before you back up all the way, you unchain everything. Then you back up really fast, and right before you hit the ramp, you stop, and all that shit comes sliding off the back. You go. Bye.
I debated it because we are talking about wheel sets here. They would have went flying.
Right down the fucking flatbed ramp.
Just honk your horn as you're backing up. Clear out. I'm unloading quick. I've lost 12 hours on this fucking load.
Yeah. No, I've lost 2.5 days.
Well,
yeah.
I planned on being back up to Quincy Wednesday morning.
Oh my god!
I got there Thursday night.
Fuck this!
These people, are they real people? Yeah. Were so they then, like partially constructed robots you were speaking to?
So then
running on Windows 8, like.
So then I get done with that, and I call the broker to let him know that the load's done. Finally. And he goes, any chance you want to go down there and get another one?
Fuck you. And go fuck yourself.
I would have done it the second time, now that I know exactly the shit that I'm in
for.
Well,
I think that's part of the thing for it. He goes, you've already got the rack built on your trailer.
I actually would have been like, yeah, because I don't want to go out there and undone it.
Well, no. The funny thing was is that I had already pulled that shit off the trailer and thrown it out before I called him. Because I knew I already had a load to pick up there to bring back to Quincy to swap back into my truck. So I'm like, no, I don't want to do another load. I'm going back to Quincy so I can get the fuck out of this flatbed truck. He goes, okay.
I'd have been like, I don't blame you. Right. I don't fucking blame you.
That's exactly what he said.
Fuck that.
I would have done it again just for one thing, to see if it's that bad around the second time, to call your boss like, we need to get out of this deal right now. These guys are assholes.
Well, no, that was it. I mean, this was a load that we picked up from the broker. So it wasn't something that our company had to go down and get all 10 of these. It was they grabbed this one load to get me back from Texas.
I'm just you can at least pass word on to the next driver, like, be careful.
Oh,
these guys are cunts.
they did. I ran into the second time I went out to Menards to get the nails. I ran into another driver there picking up 2x4s. So I asked him, "Are you picking up wheel sets at this place?" He goes, "Yes." I
said, "Grab the nails."
I said, "Get nails while you're here."
And a fucking hammer.
He goes, "Nails." I said,
"Yeah, yes. You got to fucking build
you
this shit.
You have to build the rack." He goes, "I'm not building shit."
They're going to make you build the rack.
Right.
I don't think you understand.
And you can't be on their property when you do it.
Right.
So just park outside, build the shit for you.
Right. So when I got back there the next morning, I asked him if that other guy showed up. He goes, "Yeah. There's his pile of wood." He said, "Fuck you guys. I'm out of here."
I would have warned him fully before he even bought the lumber or anything.
Well, he was already out there putting the lumber on his truck. Oh. He had already bought it. Yeah. That's why I said I saw him strapping the lumber to his trailer, and I said, "You going here?" He says, "Yes." I said, "Get nails too." Nail? They didn't say anything about nails.
They won't. They won't say anything about the fucking Fabergé egg you need for this shit either, but you're going to need one.
Right. So like I said,
not none of that French shit either. Get the Russian ones.
Yeah. They go, "Yeah, there's his 2x4s. He said, "Fuck you guys." Well, see, what I did though is, because the guy that was there was actually being apologetic.
Oh, so they weren't scratching their bellies and hee-hawing you? They were?
No.
Okay.
It was one of those where, the guys that actually do the loading aren't the ones setting up these loads and all that kind of stuff.
True.
They're just there to put the shit on the trailer.
Yeah.
They're doing what they're told. The guy should show up with this built already and put it on, like that. So, it was just piss poor administrative work is what it was, So, I'm not mad at those guys, the guys that were actually loading my truck and, because they're just doing their job.
This is information that would have been useful yesterday.
I know that, but right. But like I said, that wasn't their fault.
Oh,
it was
right.
The people in the office.
No,
booking
exactly.
The loads,
the guys, the idiots that fucking booked this shit.
There's some lady in there named Darlene that thinks this shit
actually,
just assembles itself.
No. Actually, it was
a guy named Larry.
Janine.
Damn it! I was
the
so
other
close.
Fucking cunt name.
So anyway.
No, southern name. Southern name, you're working in an office, it's Darlene, Darla, Janine, or Jennifer, or Jenny. Those are the office workers in Texas, Arkansas, Oklahoma.
Yeah. So I get back up to Kansas.
Every once in a while, you run into a Bobby.
Mm-hmm. With an I?
She was a tomboy.
With an I?
No, with a Y.
Yeah, but usually when it's a Bobby, you're going to get the middle name with it, like a Bobby Lee or a Bobby Ann. Or
Just enough to tell you that it's a lady.
Right.
Because her first name's like Roberta or something.
The easiest part of the trip was after I left there to get up to Kansas City. I had no problems. Nothing broke.
But fuck that company.
So then I get unloaded and I run over to the other place. And this is supposed to be an easy load. to get back to Quincy from Kansas City, I'm picking up a couple of 500 watt generators.
On a flatbed, right?
On a flatbed. Just generator.
You know, yeah, it shouldn't be, should be nothing.
Not 500 watt generators.
5,000?
No, 500 watt arc welders.
Oh, those are big fucking arc
welders. Not really. They're only, like, two of them supposed to be like 3,500 pounds total.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
but they're big for welders.
They're big welders, but they're industrial sized welders. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're puny compared to what I normally haul on a flatbed.
Yeah.
I go to the first place, and it was one of those I had to go to this place to pick one up and then drive like 2 hours down the road to another one of their places, pick up the other one, and then take them to Quincy, because to a third one of their places. I'm guessing they had an order. They needed a couple extra over at this store. So, you know, stop here and here, deliver there. Okay. I go and I pick up the first one. I'm running down the road, and about 5 minutes after I left, dispatch calls and says, hey, they just canceled that load.
They're going to cancel it when I drop it in their parking lot.
That's exactly what I said. I said, no, they didn't, because I have the first stop of it already on my trailer and I'm down the road.
You better call those motherfuckers back.
He did.
Tell them.
He did. And he goes, okay, go ahead and bring that one here, but don't go to the second stop. Okay.
You're getting two. Bye.
Well, no, actually, it made it easier on me because it was shorter. Okay. To just go back to Quincy than it was to go to the other place.
That would be my response. They're getting in their parking lot then.
Right. Yeah.
Or I just got two free arc welders. That's how this is going to go. Right.
Well, no, I only had one on at that point.
Oh, well.
I had just put the first one on.
This is mine now. I'm taking it.
I was leaving to go get the second one.
Yeah.
I was like 5 miles down the road.
Hey, Johnson Construction, right. What you pay me for
a 1,500 pound
I got one coming up
watt arc welder.
So this was just a
that sounds like a shit show week. Just entire shit show. Week.
Then you get to there and they're like,
No, I forgot one more thing.
Why is it not
on a rack? I forgot one more thing. I forgot one more thing. After the day of getting screwed around up there at the steel recycling place I finally got loaded with the train wheels. And then I must have ran over something in their steel scrapyard because then I had a flat tire.
What a... It's like the end of a bad week for a lady.
Yeah.
And then I got a flat tire and a broken nail.
Yeah.
Someone stole my purse. I'm not dismissing it. That sounds like a shit show.
What the fuck?
That sounds like a bunch of screwballs didn't think anything through any step of the way.
I'm still trying to, like...
I don't think they did.
I'd grab one of those pieces of 2x4.
You're telling me we just need to ship these up to Arkansas? Okay, we'll get a truck for that.
There's more to this. Logistics.
Hey.
Well, they have 9 more loads of that shit to ship.
See, this is why they actually have a degree in logistics is a legitimate degree.
Right. Janine,
The funny...
They're fucking wheels, man. They roll. We got to build it. Well, no one ever told me that.
Right. No, here's the funniest part. When I was talking to the broker the next day, he goes, yeah, we got 9 more of these loads to bring. I've been offering flatbedders, you know, say, go to Menards and grab your nails and your wood and pull into the truck stop that's like 3 miles away from this place. And I'll hire a couple of Mexicans to come in there
build
it for you. And people were still turning the load down.
Yeah, me personally, if you're going to do that, I don't have to get out of my truck. I just go buy the wood and the nails. Fuck it.
That's when baby put a roof on a house in like 2 hours.
Yeah. No. They work for beer.
But I mean, at least this broker was relatively cool. As soon as he realized all of the shit that these guys were shoveling at us, he's like, all right, they're getting charged for this. They're getting charged for that.
Yeah.
So
you guys gonna be douches? We're gonna be douches back.
Well, they paid me for a whole day of sitting.
Yeah,
which I think is gonna cost them an extra $800. I'm not gonna see the $800, but they're gonna get charged an extra $800. You know, for the tie up of the equipment,
and
all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Oh, you wouldn't get a percentage of that?
Oh, I'll get a percentage of it.
Oh, okay.
You just don't get the whole. Right.
Like that seemed like a bit of a.
No, I'll get.
You've been greatly inconvenienced. They're going to pay us for that.
No, I'll probably get $100-$200, something like that for the blown day.
Well, that's not terrible.
No,
could have been worse.
Right, but and the funny thing was that it's the first time I've ever had a broker offer it.
Yeah,
it lends the question, have they been fucked by this person before?
No, they haven't. This is the first time they've ever taken one out of there.
That broker's worked with them?
Yeah.
Huh. Or maybe it's a now we know.
Exactly.
That's, and at least that's now exactly if word gets around, they at least paid you for your loss and everything. Okay, so people keep working with that broker.
Right.
Well, so it was a smart money payout.
No, what I mean is this is the first time this broker had worked with that particular shipper.
I understand, you know? But now if anybody at your company wants to take the load or anything, mm-hmm. they at least know that they're not going to get completely hosed by this company or the broker or anything like that.
Well, at least
it was
now,
a smart money loss.
At least now, with me being the first person in there, now they have an idea of what to expect. So when they send the next guy in there,
yeah,
yeah,
build it your fucking self.
Yeah, have it ready before you even pull in.
Don't even go on the property.
Exactly.
Build it in the parking lot of Home Depot.
No, you can't do that. But
wait, you can't?
No. The Home Depot was barely big enough to get one truck in there.
Oh, okay.
And that was going around the backside of the building.
Speaking of smart money losses, Matt finally read up on what a short was on a stock.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to get him to watch this show called Billions that has Damian Lewis and Paul Giamatti, and it's a pretty good show. And I asked him, like, you need to know what a short on a stock is. And Matt gave me, like, the basic, oh, you're betting against the stock doing well. I'm like, oh, God, it's way worse than that. I'm going to borrow these stocks, but not actually buy them. I'm just going to pretend I owe them for a little bit, but sell them because I don't own them. Wait, yeah. What?
Yeah.
Basically, what you do is you put a percentage of the price of the stock down and borrow the stock for a little while and hope that it goes up.
Yeah. And yeah, the other part is, like, no matter what, you have to buy it. That's the risk to it. Because if you were just sitting on the stock, selling it and buying it, that's actually still long. But the short game, like, you read up on it, you're like, okay, so I'm going to borrow the stocks from Matt, who actually owns them, but he's going to pretend I owe them, but I put down a small
fee,
a dedication that I will buy, someone yeah. will buy these stocks. Can I sell them? Can I move them?
Yeah.
That's that. Yeah. Oh, my God. And that's something that happens daily on Wall Street.
Yeah. Also, yeah. The other side of this I know is like, I kind of remembered that, and then the other thing I know, which is leveraging a fucking stock, which is where you put like 5% of it and then you buy like 200 times the amount of that share that you're effectively borrowing the fucking money on margin to get the stock. And then if you lose money on that shit, they want the amount of money that you actually borrowed back from you if you fucking lose. Fuck that. Stock market's a fucking...
It is. There's all kinds of tricks and...
crazy shit yeah. to do in the financial market.
Well, I threw out a tweet about an hour ago.
Uh-oh.
Just on a whim. Kevin Smith's going to be in Iowa City on the 9th doing a gig.
Okay.
So I offered...
We're going to finally take him out?
I offered to buy him dinner.
For dinner, yeah.
I offered to buy him dinner if we could sneak in an interview during dinner.
Can we get him a Jimmy John's gift card for like $6? That's or enough to cover Gargantuan exactly.
He'd probably take it. Yeah. We'll see if he gets back.
We'll see.
Yeah. That would be
maybe a bucket of KFC or something. We'll split it
3 weeks from now. If
you're going to get him to show up here, or are we going to go to
No, we'll have to go to Iowa City.
Really? Iowa City? There's lots of hippies there.
I know. There's just as many lesbians, though, too.
Can I bring my hippie club?
Yes.
It's in the back of the car.
What's that?
We got one in the back of the car.
That's Mary's rape club. That's different.
It'll work the same.
No. We have to have clearly defined clubs.
No, because the nice thing is, if you look at the rape club, it looks like it's well used. You can scare the hippies with it more.
I found a thing at Home Depot, which was a wrought iron flower. That's my hippie club. And then I yell flower power
as I whack them
shitless.
If you're listening live,
now the irony is astounding there.
If you're
listening, you piece of shit.
If you're listening live on the Mix Talk, you can actually call into the show on Skype, Radio Fubar, if you're bored. Nobody has yet, because I don't think anybody's listening.
I don't care. I care, but I don't.
We used to ask people's opinions. That's why Buzz would always call in.
Well, that was back in the day.
Yeah. When Buzz listened.
Yeah.
And whenever he could antagonize Matt.
Well, we lost a lot of listeners when we decided to kill the station.
Yeah.
So
I'm not reigniting anything, but I just realized something. This like weird rivalry or whatever that happened years ago, I think with Johnny and everything over Bubba. Apparently Hulk Hogan was sleeping with her.
Mm-hmm. His wife. Bubba's wife.
That was the sex tape that was leaked.
Yeah.
And Hulk Hogan just won that lawsuit this week for $110 million.
Yeah.
It was 115. But I doubt he's going to see all that money because they're going to appeal it.
Okay.
So.
Still keeps him out of the poorhouse.
Yeah.
Well, what are they going to appeal it to? $5 million?
No, they're appealing, saying that he's a public figure and we're a news agency and blah, 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 you know.
That's what gives us the right to publish pictures of his genitals at will.
I appreciate the fact that Gawker was live streaming the trial, too. I'm like, okay, you fucking ballsy cunt.
Yeah, they think they're above the law.
Yeah.
That's why they're Kotaku.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
Yeah, that's all part of it. Kotaku's a corrupt as shit gaming website.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did your game only cost $10 to make? It's the best game this year. People should like it before it's cool.
Depression Quest.
So they're the hippies of gaming sites.
No.
Hipsters.
Hipsters.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No.
This game is unique because it has four different color choices for your clothes. Or not.
This is a game that's supposed to teach you what it's like being fucking depressed.
I'm not even going on about that.
No
some
one
of their
bought
other,
it.
Some of their other choices for like games and crap were just stupid.
That's what, just the one what, that I know what, off the
what,
top
what,
of my head.
What? So if you make it to the end of the game without killing yourself, you lose?
Here's the weirdest thing. Like one of the most popular, two of the most popular games that came out this year is a really weird 2D, it's not like the old like Commodore Dungeons and Dragons and shit, RPG.
Okay.
That has like 20 different endings, all influenced by like, and there's thousands of levels in it and shit. It's called Undertale.
Okay.
I'm not going to go into the story, but it's really stylized. There's a lot of puns. There's a lot of humor. There's a lot of like cool, like you can get 16 different outcomes from the game based on different choices you make, and people like going through it because even if you played it three times, you haven't seen all the dialogue choices.
Right, so it's like a choose your own adventure book.
Yeah, almost, almost, but it's so much more in depth than
right. But I mean, it's that kind of thinking.
Mm-hmm. But there's still like three different ways to get outcome A, four different ways to get outcome B.
Right. That's what I mean. You know what I mean? Based on the choices you make and which pages you turn, do you know, because I remember reading those books as a kid, you know, do you do this, turn to this page? Do you do this, turn to this page, you know?
And they ripped it apart saying it was like gruesome, and it's not gruesome at all. There's a lot of like almost innocent 9-year-old, 8-year-old humor in it. There's a lot of puns. Like one of the guys that helps you in the game for like the first half of the game, he follows you making hilarious, stupid, terrible puns. And none of them are gruesome or graphic or anything. There's a depressed ghost in there who, when you enter the ghost's house, he tries to encourage you to lie on the floor of them for a while and think about the worthlessness of life in the universe. And it's intended to be funny.
Yeah.
And they're like, see, this is like influencing people to give up when they're depressed. It's like, okay. Okay.
I don't understand how
one of the most critically acclaimed and widest paid for games on Steam you're saying is crap. Then they came up with this other weird game called Ibn Ob, which is a physics puzzle game, not like Portal.
Yeah.
Which, imagine a line with a break in it, and there's a portal, there's a window going mm-hmm. between the break. And the gravity on either side of the line points towards the line. And there's two characters. And you actually have to coordinate, like, jumping through the portal to get
extra height and stuff, standing on the other character and jumping off. And then there's even some of these portals in the game that only one color of the characters can go through. One's green, one's pink. Only the pink character can go through the pink windows. It's a really interesting puzzle game that actually requires like predicting physics and stuff. They short sold it. They said it was too simplistic.
Get the fuck out of here.
And it was only playing on the physics genre of gamings that Portal introduced. And it's like, yeah, but...
Come on in. You're missing the fun.
We've played this before, Matt.
What is it?
All around the stactus plant, the stalker chased a bandit. The stalker thought 'twas all in...
Oh, this is,
Goes the bandit.
A chick from,
Borderlands 2.
Borderlands 2.
Yeah. Oh.
Tiny Tina.
Yeah, this crazy little bitch.
Tell me you're coming. I still owe him for all that butt crap with General Rancid. So you gotta hijack a train, huh? Child's play. Let me introduce you to my ladies. Running, running, running. I'm running over here.
Okay.
Run, 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 run.
No, so it's not just what they were involved in on the literally who issue. It's if you read any of their other articles, they praise...
Mm-hmm.
Any game that doesn't sell well. It could be the exact same game with a different like reskin if it's sold over a certain number of some guy actually
it's
went
garbage.
Through. If it's sold over 100,000 units in anything, it's garbage. It's trash. It's mainstream. It's not doing anything new. But the exact same game that's lame, oh, this is the best game ever made. This is really creatively a step forward.
It's the same,
but people told
game.
You they don't like it.
They didn't buy it. Well, they just don't understand what this. There's nothing to understand. You're taking two blocks and stacking it each on top of each other.
There was an article, I need to show it to you later, where the guy was invited to play. I can't remember. It was a AAA game, but it wasn't like Halo or anything or Call of Duty or it wasn't a shooter. It was like in the Far Cry genre of like Skyrim.
Uncharted?
Was it Uncharted? I think so. Maybe. Or maybe it was Call of Duty. Irrelevant.
Yeah.
He gets invited to like this PR party in LA and all he's talking about is he's standing on the roof and thinking about philosophical things and like the flavor of the champagne he's drinking, whether or not the food is good, who else was at the party. And one guy posts the comments like, Did you have any thoughts about the game? Like, did you play it?
Did you play it?
Oh, wait. At the end of the article, he admits, I didn't actually play the game. I have no interest in it. But it was a fun experience.
Go fuck yourself.
What did we do with our lives? The title of this article was blank, blank, the game press event report. What was...
That's like going to E3... And not going to any of the press conferences.
Talking about the hot dogs that they served outside.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on Microsoft's... What the hell is the name of that fucking thing? The motion capture thing.
Kinect?
Yeah. What were your thoughts on the Microsoft Xbox Kinect?
Oh, I didn't actually use it.
I didn't use it at all. I was actually busy...
I was
staring
looking
at this gray wall over here.
There's a set decoration that really caught my eye.
Like, fuck you.
Are you kidding me? Were looking at the decorations of the booth? Well, yes, I think it's vaguely sarcastic in its simplicity towards the modern... I don't care. Tell me about the game.
I don't give a shit. I don't give a
this
shit.
This is when they unveiled Oculus Rift, and you're telling me about the window dressings. I don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit.
No, that's Gawker Media.
That's fucking stupid.
What's Frank doing?
Just listening.
I was gap filling.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that someone has just turned into ash and the other guy is in fits of love.
All right, forget it. I was trying to do something, didn't work. So.
Okay.
Are you still talking about shitty video games? Or
I think
video
we're done.
Games, shitty website.
Yeah. the Gawker Media was the one that lost to Hogan, and they've been pieces of crap this entire time.
Well, they've been pieces of crap.
Matt thought it was very like ballsy or honorable that they were
not honorable, the just
trial.
Ballsy. Just as a gigantic fuck you. Here we go.
Oh, he doesn't want to be on camera. Let's put him on camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the hell?
I'm sorry. TMZ used to be just as bad.
It's pretty bad when you can actually say TMZ is not the worst media outlet on the planet.
Yeah. I will say TMZ is entertaining. Speaking of TMZ.
I always loved Richard Dean Anderson with TMZ. Every time they caught him out, he just had like a polite conversation with him. Like, oh, hey, how are you guys doing? Got any big roles coming up? He's like, no, nothing. I've retired. I did tell you guys that the last time though.
Yeah.
So no job prospects. He's like, I don't really want any. I don't even have an agent right now. So
I
got rid of my agent.
I've
just retired, man. I'm getting old. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like talking to them like they're
human beings.
Like they're friends of friends, but not yet. Well, we're not getting anything out of him. Don't go back to him.
Yeah. There was one time on TMZ that...
Because there's no fish in that lake.
There appears to be no fish.
It's not the point. Sorry, go ahead.
There was one time on TMZ, I was just flipping through, and I caught John Taffer, the guy who does bar rescue, right? And one of the guys asked him, was like, what's the worst bar that you ever went to? Hilariously, it was in Council Bluffs, Iowa. I don't remember the name of the bar.
They wrote an article about it's online.
Yeah.
You can actually look that up if you want to, Frank. The bar rescue guy said the worst bar in the United States that he's ever been to and cannot be rescued is in Council Bluffs, Iowa.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
Like, I think he wasn't even there like 2 hours. And he's like
I'm fucking done.
I'm out.
Yeah, I think I, let's see. Top 10 most difficult bar rescue owners. Number 10 is called Ryan from Swanky Bubbles.
I remember that episode.
Yes.
That episode. Did you know that motherfucker changed the name back of his bar afterwards?
Wasn't that the bar manager was literally just giving out constantly free drinks or whatever? Yeah. It had the weird wood bar, too.
Yeah. And John Taffer went there and was like, you got to change the name. We got to change the decor in here. We got to change all this. Dumb shit went back in after John Taffer fixed it and undid. And it's like...
Ryan was the co-owner of the Chicago Champagne Bar, who thought he was a funny man. If there is one thing John doesn't like when he's trying to get a bar back up on its feet, it's a funny man. Ryan also had trouble coming to the conclusion that the failing bar was mostly his fault. A funny BSer? No.
The best part about that place is it was a champagne bar that didn't know how to make
a
martini.
Last year, more than 5,000 failing bars nationwide closed their doors for good. Things don't change soon. Swanky Bubbles in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania will become just a...
Chicago? They said Chicago. That's just bad writing. Statistic.
After visiting a wildly successful champagne bar in Manhattan in 1999, John Frankowski decided to bring the concept to Philly and open Swanky Bubbles.
In our heyday, this place was doing $100,000 in business a month. It was just rock and roll in here.
But 3 years ago, the gimmick wore off. And sales at the bar fell flat.
I like to see, like, beautiful women when I go places, and there's not a lot of females in here.
Despite losses of $4,000 per month, John spends only 1 to 2 hours per week at the failing bar.
I've been here a year and a half, and I've seen him maybe 10, 15 times.
I'm gonna slip
which leaves the majority of the city.
Because I'm guessing that...
5 years ago? When did it go bad?
Last 2 to 3 years or so. My other partner is a little older. Brought me in for a little bit of youth to eject in, be more of his eyes and hands-on, monitor our general manager, our staff.
Is John here now?
John's not here now.
How often is he here?
Out of 7 days, maybe 2 or 3.
Are you here 5 days a week?
Anyway. I thought he was just the
bee's
knees. Yeah. Anyway, number 9, Scott from The Rock. Scott had stupid ideas. Rude bartenders and one hell of a creepy brother-in-law. None of these things help when trying to fix a failing bar, especially that drunken creepy brother-in-law. Number 8, the frat brothers, TJ Quills. A bar owned by a bunch of fraternity brothers is automatically a bad sign.
Oh, I remember that one. That one was the one where they were letting underage people in just left and fucking right.
A bar owned by a bunch of drunken frat brothers. That sounds like something John Taffer isn't going to like, especially when you combine that with fake IDs and underage drinking.
Yeah.
Tim from Angry Ham's Garage. Tim had a huge ego, and when it comes to egos as big, John has a hard time dealing with them. John decides if it would be a good idea to change the name of the bar, but that wasn't going to fly with Tim, leaving John in a bit of a jam, blah, blah, blah.
That's the one that they had pissed off both the Chamber of Commerce and the city council, like, mm-hmm. 6 different ways. Yeah.
Oh, the Bamboo Beach Tiki Bar. I remember that one. Frank is running a dirty, gross tiki bar that refuses to admit his problems. There is one thing John hates, and that's finding a dirty bar and a reluctant bar owner. Word of the wise, when John starts to yell, just back down.
Wasn't that the one where he wasn't paying his staff?
Mm-hmm.
They were only making tips.
And also, wasn't that the one that was like the outside tiki bar that, or no?
No, this was an inside tiki bar.
Okay.
It was weird.
Like out on the beach type.
Yeah.
Thing.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, then I'm thinking a different one.
Tim from Olive Pit. Want to listen in being a difficult bar owner? Be both creepy and drunk. John can't stand a bar owner that drinks on the job, let alone one that is also creepily touching his employees.
I would have... I remember this one because I got videos of him doing this shit. John sent his wife in there one, mm-hmm. for this one, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And
the guy skeeved on her.
Yeah.
Number 4, Steve from Turtle Bay. Even though Steve wasn't an owner, he made John's job very difficult. He knew nothing about his job and was just pretty much living the life. When you're talking to John Taffer, the ultimate bar god, know something about your bar.
Yeah.
Oh, the tiki bar that was attached to the hotel?
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's
the, and he had like all the pretty girls and everything that were constantly touching their hair and shit.
Yeah.
And he fired one. He's like, we'll talk later. And he's like, what did you just say to her?
Yeah, that one, yeah.
I told you to fire her. You fired her and said, don't worry, we'll talk later. What does that fucking mean?
Yeah, yeah. that's the one, yeah.
Terry from Extremes Bar and Grill.
I don't remember that one.
As we already know, John hates drunken bar owners, and Terry from Extremes was the king of drunken bar owners. John knew Terry was going to be a problem when the moment he walked in, when Terry was mid-shot with some customers. John finds Terry and his personality so repulsive he threatens to never come back. Now that's when you know you got a bad owner. Number 2, Headhunters. Steve from Headhunters got all of his kicks from making John pissed, which pissed John off even more, and as we know, that's never good.
Number 1's got to be the Pirate Bar.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Number 1, Amy from Zanzibar Billiards.
What?
Amy is probably the most self-centered bar owner. I'm wondering if this is, like, old.
I don't know if it's old, because the Pirate Bar was, like, season 1 or 2. That's a few years ago, but
there was an article here. Okay, this is actually from last year, where John himself is describing the 3 worst bars. Over 4 seasons, John Taffer has seen a lot of things, including someone riding a horse into a bar. He's even got,
I remember that one. Yeah, I remember that one, too.
He's even gotten into some tussles with angry bar owners. But beyond the making of great TV, John has seen some genuine horror stories in his long career. John landed his first bar management job in 1978 and worked his way through America's bar and nightlife industry. He's one of the first inductees into the Nightclub Hall of Fame, is president of the Nightclub and Bar Media Group, and has worked with more than 800 businesses in his career. He tells Business Insider that there is unfortunately an ugly side to the bar and club business, and he's seen pretty much all of it. Here are his top 3 worst bar stories. Number 1, the unfortunate football fan. Taffer says that the worst bar club incidents involve innocent victims. He remembers a particular moment many years ago when he was running a nightclub in L.A. and a guy, quote, got hurt through the silliest of things, end quote. The Washington Redskins professional football team had just lost a game that would have put them in the playoffs, and a passionate fan, or someone who would, you know, who had bet a good chunk of change, decided to announce his anger as he walked into the venue. Taffer remembers him screaming, "Those fucking Redskins!" And like the punchline to a bad joke, there happened to be a very, or a group of Native American patrons within earshot.
Whoops. You know, this is what you always stop me from doing is stupid shit like this when I'm drunk.
Thinking his remark was a racist barb at them, decided to beat the living piss out of him. Taffer remembers the Skins fan as, quote, the most inoffensive, politically correct man, end quote, he could have ever imagined, who just happened to wind up in a jam because of bad luck.
Wow.
Number two, the Peeping Tom.
Those fucking Redskins.
Number two, the Peeping Tom. Taffer doesn't share too many details about a time he had to deal with an ambitious pervert, but he shares enough. I once had to had someone try to get into the ladies' room, he says. He climbs up into the ceiling, and the entire drop ceiling of the ladies' room crashed with him on the floor. And he's lying on the floor in the middle of the ladies' room, and the girls are just kicking the living hell out of him.
That's great.
And the last one says the opening night tragedy. It's not hard for Taffer to pick the worst thing he's ever had happen in one of his establishments since an accident resulting in someone's death.
Oh.
One of the most successful venues Taffer ever ran was a club called Pulsations in Concord, Pennsylvania. It featured 11 bars, 10 levels, top-level entertainment, more than 2,000 patrons on weekend nights for much of the 80s, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer. It almost didn't make it through its first night. On opening night, a light fixture fell off the ceiling and someone got killed, Taffer said.
Damn.
Nobody could have seen it coming, but it did happen. The Philadelphia Inquirer reported that fixture struck and killed Margaret Jones, 37, and injured five others. The club settled out of court with Jones in 1987.
Balls.
Damn.
So, yeah, that would be a shitty opening night.
Yeah.
But did you die?
yeah, I did, actually.
I got shot.
I got shot.
But did you die?
But did you die? You got to find that story about Council Bluffs.
The first day I got here, I never even made it inside the bar. I got involved in a fight in a parking lot where your manager was fighting with you, Sarissa. At the end of that fight...
Is this it?
You looked at her and said she had...
It says this is the first time ever you've walked out.
Why was I on the ground? Sarissa, you and I asked for it all the time.
And then I saw a video a few minutes ago that took me over the top. And I want an answer to this. Matt, Dave, please explain this.
You think I'm playing with you? Man, I'm a military mother... I will take you out.
Either you put him through a window or I'm gonna put him through a window. I own the bar, so I prefer it was you.
You don't pay me enough, man, to put him through a window.
You get a $10 raise an hour.
You get a $10 raise per hour if you throw your own employee through a glass window. How do you like when he slaps you in the face?
I didn't like it at all.
Is he a reasonable human being when he does that?
No, not when he does
that. Was she reasonable when she told you you deserve it?
I can give two about what they're talking about right now.
Your bar isn't what's wrong. Your character is what's wrong.
I've aired out my differences with all these people. I've talked. I've discussed with
them. Really?
Yeah, I have.
How do you defend this?
I'm sick of you yelling at my wife.
The problem is... You guys think this is okay.
Holy shit.
You guys are a mess.
John is going hoarse.
I ain't scared of John.
My tolerance for an owner hitting an employee is zero. You have no responsibility. None. You see, I have a reputation, and I have to protect it. And you will destroy it. Just like you destroyed your own.
We are not those type of people.
Then what did
Things
I see?
Things happened that you saw, but that's not the normal that happens around here.
The ultimate coup de grace.
Oh, the Clinton defense.
Hitting an employee. I am not going to rescue a bar and then read the newspaper that somebody got hurt here next week. I won't have any part of it. Since I have been here, you guys have proven to me that you don't
effect.
Have the fundamentals to begin running.
They need to stop using the reality
and
screech.
Prove to me how irresponsible you are. So here's the deal. I'm leaving. I am not rescuing your bar. My advice to you is this. As another human being, you need some help. And you need to pull your lives together. And then maybe you can save your business. You need a counselor, not a bar professional. But I'm done. This is the first bar rescue I ever walked out of. You blew it. I'm gone. Good night.
I stayed just long enough to make sure we had 42 minutes of footage.
Yeah, that's f***ing low, man.
Fucking low, man. That guy that came in to offer to help us at no cost to ourselves, he just walks out? That's low.
He offered to give you 35 years of experience and how to fix your shit.
Yeah.
35 years of experience in a free remodel and rebranding.
Yeah. And you slapped the shit out of him. You slapped the shit out of somebody in front of, and he's like, I'm fucking done. Yeah, no. I appreciate John Taffer. He might be a reality show, but he's actually doing good work.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite ones from that show is the one in, I want to say Pittsburgh, where it was the wing place.
I don't know. Mary watches that show religiously. I've watched a few episodes here or there.
It was supposed to be like a jazz club that served hot wings and stuff too. It wasn't a bad concept, but it had gone down the shitter.
Right.
And like he renamed it to The Bone, and it was a picture of a chicken playing a trombone. Pun.
Yeah.
It was a cool picture too. It wasn't like over the top, like the Henry chicken thing.
Right.
And the guy fought him every step of the way. And like it, I know it's reality TV, but it like the 30-minute markish of the episode, the dude swallowed his pride, did exactly what John did. And now he's actually like, anytime John needs a scout in the Northeast, he calls that owner in to be the scout. They're like best friends now. He swallowed his pride.
Well, I'm sure that exactly happens. I'm sure that happens quite a bit, you know.
And then in one episode, he's like, things since I've gone, I've actually gone great. We actually opened two new locations at two different cities, and we're actually looking at franchising under one name. Currently, the three places have three different names. John's actually helping with that. He's like, yes, you did. Everybody else that's on the show needs to watch the show and go, oh.
Yeah. At some point, you got to go, let's see. I've owned one bar and it's sucking. This guy's
been doing this for 30 plus fucking years. 30
years and 800 bars. Most all of them are doing good.
This guy's made millions just on flipping bars, let alone owning them.
Right.
Yeah. I think he knows what the fuck
now,
he's
talking
about.
Now, my understanding is he gets like 10% of the bar for 3 years or something like that is how it works on these shows, on this show, when he goes in and helps with these
So
bars.
He becomes like a small-time, part-time, right. a small-time partner.
So he has skin in the game, too, you know, because that's what he was talking about there at the end of that one. He's not going to help fix this place and basically put his name on it and
have it wash out in a day. He loses money. Yeah.
Right.
And you tear him down because he put fucking money up on something. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I did not know he became a small owner in these fucking places.
Yeah, I believe he gets a 10% interest.
That's fine. I didn't know that actually totally makes a hell of a lot more sense on why he's so aggressive.
He sticks with some of the shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't even have to show up again. He just has to set it up, walk away, and get 10% of the cut for a year or two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty fair deal.
Yeah.
You still own the company. You just owe me 10% of your shit for fixing everything.
Oh, there's a there's a lawsuit.
On him?
Yeah, is Bar Rescue fake? Lawsuit says so. This is from last year, 2 years ago.
Okay.
John Taffer always claims that Bar Rescue is real and nothing is ever scripted.
Threat has been detected.
That just adds to the legitimacy of this story. They put a virus on the fucking page for the story. Is it a clickbait title too? You'll never believe what this lawsuit said.
I think that was actually being a overly aggressive. It was detecting a disgust link. When John Taffer always claims that Bar Rescue is real and nothing is ever scripted, most people who watch the show feel otherwise. Yesterday, a lawsuit was filed by Paul T. Wilkes against Bongo LLC. Okay, John Taffer and his wife, Nicole Taffer. Paul was an owner of the Sand Dollar in Las Vegas, which was on season 3 of the show and renamed the Bar 702. You may remember the episode is titled as Don't Mess with John Taffer's Wife, where John gets mad that Paul was hitting on his wife. The full lawsuit is linked here, but here are some of the highlights. The casting company told Dr. Wilkes that the show was looking at 40 bars in the Las Vegas area that were under consideration for the show. They said those who displayed the most outlandish behavior would be considered the most television worthy and would be chosen for the next phase of the selection process. The next phase would be a few people from the company coming to film audition tapes to get a feel of how they'd be on camera. During the filming of the audition tape, Dr. Wilkes was instructed to talk to his friends in a natural way as if no camera was present. He remembered the, quote, outlandish, end quote, behavior being part of the selection process, so he talked about some Vegas strip clubs with his friends. After the audition tape was filmed, the casting company approached a production company about making an episode focusing on a dirty doctor who picks up on strippers. Production company then sent a single cameraman for another audition tape where they interviewed bar employees, including Dr. Wilkes, and asked questions like what he thought of John Taffer, the way he dressed, and how he gets in people's faces. Closer to the filming date, producers told Dr. Wilkes that he was one of three bars under consideration of being selected, and that they would be filmed with the video sent to John Taffer, who would select the bar chosen to be rescued. When filming Dr. Wilkes at the bar, Dr. Wilkes was doing push-ups against the bar and dancing around. Producers were unsatisfied with the level of extremity, so they told him to make disreputable comments to women in the bar. In a later interview before the show, the producer said in order to, quote, get the show, Dr. Wilkes had to make offensive comments about women. He was assured that the comments wouldn't be seen by public and John Taffer would be the only one seeing them. The producer asked graphic questions about women's parts, and when Dr. Wilkes' response weren't graphic enough, the producer coached him to make his responses more graphic, as in, say it like this. Blah, 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 blah.
I believe everything about the selection process. This sounds like a guy that got caught doing something skeevy and wants to save his name because he has doctor in front of it. I don't know. I believe that's how they do the selection process for the show, so it's scripted in that way. But no, they totally made me say all those completely inappropriate things.
No, I didn't. No, no, that's bullshit.
I was just trying to get on the show. So you're a whore.
So you're... Yeah.
That guy paid me to suck his dick.
You accepted the money.
So you're a prostitute. Okay, you're going to jail too.
You broke the law.
You broke the law, asshole.
Okay, yeah. Oh, so I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you don't know until you know, but...
I wonder if there's any update on that. Is that what you're looking for?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Bar rescue lawsuit. Let's see. Johnny, along with Pippin, have been sued by Tom Fall Wilkes. The bar... No update.
It was like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So either it's stuck in motions, but or...
3 days ago, it looks like. This is from TMZ, so
yeah,
we'll see how this is. Bar rescue host John Taffer lawsuit claims employees who aren't hot chicks get screwed. Okay.
It seems like it'd be the opposite of the way it works.
Yeah, you would think.
You don't go for the ugly ones. Not on purpose, anyway.
You just get real tanked up, man.
Bar rescue host John Taffer has one qualification for his employees. Attain hot chick status, so claims a guy who is suing the host for discrimination.
Oh, here we go.
Sang Han Wang, an Asian-American guy in his 20s, claims in his lawsuit Taffer hired him as a project manager, but fired him because the host, quote, preferred to have young, attractive females employed, end quote. Wang claims hot women were given jobs way above their skill set because John liked them. She says, Taffer enjoys being surrounded by women and acts like a bachelor despite being married. The suit goes on to explain he has spoken publicly on methods of picking up girls from bars. Wang says the hot chicks took over his job, and Taffer then concocted a plan to 86 him by giving him a job he couldn't do, programming and writing code for the Bar HQ app. Wang, who's repped by Cody Knight, claims sex and racial discrimination. He reached out to Spike TV for comments. So far, no word back. John wasn't talking hiring practices when he got him a couple of years ago, but he did tell us there's a different arena when looks count. So,
with John's response there is not incorrect, because if you look at the industry that he works in, he's a bar consultant and owner and stuff like that. The product that he is working on is the clientele are drunk people that usually have a decent amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
In their early 20s to mid 20s, that's his demographic he's shooting for. They're usually tend to be on the side of people that are.
Is it ever good to pass a drink to a girl at a bar? Do you think that's bad? Just like buy a drink for her and send it over? Has that ever been seen?
Depends upon how she looks.
Okay.
And right. What your motives are.
Yeah.
You're going to pass a girl a drink, you got to have an end game. What's the point? Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's true.
There's nothing wrong with that statement at all.
He was saying right in front of his wife, too. She was standing there right next to him.
That was a legitimate question.
He acts like she's going,
yeah, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Are you going to buy her a drink and not follow up on it?
It's an opening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you use...
Have you ever bought
a
non...
Or it's a closer if you get the right pills.
Think about it. Have you ever bought a non-friend woman a drink in a bar without ulterior motives? Not saying that you actually got anywhere.
But I don't buy drinks for women, first off, because right. I just on general principle.
But you know what I mean.
Yes, we have.
Have we?
You can't tell me you were not sexually attracted to S.A. or S.N.
Oh,
if your goal wasn't immediately, I want to get her drunk enough to sleep with, that's not what he's saying. Just you were still trying to influence the outcome slightly.
Right.
You were demonstrating the system. You were demonstrating value.
I completely forgot about
I
that.
I could buy you drinks.
I completely forgot about
it. It wasn't
that.
Let me get you drunk enough to sleep with me. It was I could buy you drinks. Does that mean you'll like me?
And that wasn't even like me downplaying that. I just generally forgot about that circumstance.
We did it for a few back in that time period too. It wasn't I can't remember like every individual instance that we bought a drink for a few women.
Right. And
usually at least one looker in the group. And
that's why I qualified non-friend.
Right. You know, like that's somebody I didn't remember any of this shit.
Just meeting them in a bar?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Fuck that.
Well,
no.
you know what I mean? Or even, you know.
I never used
I mean, it could even be somebody you worked with or you went out as a group.
Yes.
But what I mean by non-friends, you know, because, you know, like when I was in the Marines, we had women in the unit. We would go drinking together. We'd buy each other drinks, and it was just a thing.
Not one of the guys sort of thing. No.
Right.
We've done that. Yeah. I've never done it for, like, a stranger I met at the bar that I didn't have at least, like, an hour. If I felt like I was trying to be milked for a drink, she ain't getting a drink out of me.
Right, but you know what I mean. You had an ulterior motive. I mean, there's a difference between a friend and an acquaintance. You know, somebody that you know from work.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that behavior, I don't care what you say, is 10 times worse now than it was back in your day.
Well, back in my day, I never bought a woman a drink.
Well, there you go. But it's literally every. Well, I mean, it's not even every.
There are a shit ton of women that go out there with no fucking money whatsoever.
Like not even a debit card on their person. Right. They have their ID in their pocket.
They did that back in the college days.
What we're saying is instead of it being every other or two out of three, it's more like 19 out of 20 now. It's bad.
Yeah.
Right.
They either have the guy that's buying the drinks coming with them already, or they're finding one for the night, period.
Or they're going to rotate around. That's the other one.
We'll take this guy to two bars. He'll buy us three rounds of drinks. Then we'll skip to the other section of bars in Moline. He'll buy us two or three. We'll find a guy there. He'll buy two or three rounds.
Yeah.
They drank for free. All they paid for was gas. Fuck this shit.
Yep.
I mean, you're entitled to sex. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm saying I don't want to be ripped off from my buddy.
You're trying to show this guy that you're interested in him either romantically or even as a friend. He treats you like that, and then you just drop him.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Of course, I don't think I've ever... Yeah, I've never picked a woman up at a bar.
Nope.
No.
I didn't want any women that would
count
come
as rape.
It depends on what definition
they have
rape.
Impaired judgment. They can't give now, clear consent.
I have taken a woman to a bar on a first date and then went home with her.
That's different.
But that's different. You know.
Yeah.
You at least had an idea of what her name was before you were
right.
drunk.
Exactly. Didn't get a second date, but, you know, still, you know. It started out, let's go to the bar. Okay. It wasn't like I just met her at the bar and said, hey,
yeah, I would never go to and pick up any women that would come out, that would go just willingly go to a bar. If I was taking one there.
You've never been that guy looking around the bar at 145, said, okay, who's left?
Yeah, I've never been that guy. Well, let's be honest, at 145, I was the guy puking it outside in the fucking garbage. Because I drank myself stupid in an hour and a half. Because we'd show up at 11, I was puking by 2.
Our group of friends, including us, are idiots.
I will.
And alcohol is the perfect excuse to act like how we are. So that's why we went drinking, to act like what we really were.
I will say. I will say I've wingmanned a couple of times. I've even taken one for the team a couple of times.
Let's be honest here. If that was an option where I had to bang the fat chick to let one of us go, I'd have done it.
I probably would have been hitting on the fat chick already. Because I know we can go to Hardee's afterwards. Yeah. Or on
and that's
the way.
Exactly what we did.
Or we'll order Chinese for breakfast or something. Yeah. It'll be weird and fun. This is going to be a good time for me.
Yeah.
Guys, let me give you a warning. If your goal is to pick up women in a bar, you have to do what they do. You have to go in packs. You can't send... You can't send one guy into a group of women and expect him to have any success. You have to have a couple of your buddies there with you to distract the other women away from.
Isn't that also part of the Dennis?
They always say wingman, and I'm like, I think you need a flight commander more than that.
Right.
Someone that'll literally keep an eye out on the wings and be like, oh, there's a MiG coming in from the right, you know?
Exactly.
You but don't need necessarily someone to shoot him down.
But that's
you need
what
someone to see him coming
right.
and deal with it.
But that's what a wingman, or preferably wingmen, because you need more than one. Mm-hmm. You know, because usually women go out to group in at least groups of three.
But they've adapted.
At least.
They've adapted. That actually has been the trend. You go out with three or four groups of guys, and now it's one or two. Whether they're both attractive or even both mildly attractive, they don't see five dudes that can separate and prey, you know, the pack hunters. Right. They see five debit cards. Right. So now they're actually looking for the group at it.
Right.
They figured out the late 90s, early 2000 five pack of guys deal.
Well, you see, that was the funny thing, though.
If we reduce our numbers, that means that there's more money to go between just two of us.
No.
Well, let's just do that.
The funny thing was back in my day, the women were going out to the bar to have a good time. And then the guys would try to pick them up. But the guys were stupid, and they would go one at a time.
And it watches the fucking, the lioness would just eat them the fuck alive. Yeah.
Why do women go to bathroom in packs? That's why women go to bathroom in packs.
Packs, yep.
It's so that they can go to the bathroom and talk about you.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if they're drunk or not. They go into the bathroom, they're talking about you. They're talking about their dates. They're talking about whatever. So
now the operation is you put jets in the air, you circle the area, and one goes in for a sally, just to go in for a little skirmish.
Mm-hmm.
And then you all encircle and pick off.
Yeah.
You still need a dogfight initiator to get it going, and as soon as they swarm around the dogfight, you just start picking them off if that's the goal.
Right. But I'm telling you, they've adapted strategies. It's not packs of women anymore. It's one or two, possibly three, looking for a group of guys, five plus.
Yeah.
If you go up with three guys, they don't even want to talk to you. That's not enough money for the night. How are they supposed to afford drinks for us and them? We want lots of shots.
Yeah. Either that or be the rich motherfucker in the bar.
And you don't buy drinks anymore. You buy shots.
Yeah, that I knew.
You don't, hey, can I get you a drink? Let's do shots. The most expensive tubies. And efficient.
Are they still doing the tubies?
Are you talking about the vial shots?
Depends on the bar.
Do those at certain nightclubs in the area, but not all of them. Oh,
okay. Because that used to be the big thing when I was your guys' age, is the waitresses would literally just walk around with a rack of test tubes.
Of fucking Kool-Aid.
Yeah. There'd be like 40 in this damn thing. And they charge $2 each.
The thing is they picked that up from like the rave parties in the mid-90s is where that came from. It's like where you would have like your... Somehow they made that shit glow in the fucking black light out of in the test tube. And it looked like you're drinking something's radioactive.
They pick a $6 shot flavored like candy with a high amount of alcohol in it. They'll milk you for three or four of those, and then literally you'll turn around and they disappeared. Ships in the night. They put out their lanterns and furled their sails, and there they went.
Or it's fucking Fireball. I hate Fireball.
Yeah, three or four shots of Fireball. That's why every time I buy shots, I get Harley oils or screaming
just
Nazis.
Just shitty drinks that no one else wants besides us.
No. Not that. It's like, well, if I'm paying for it, I'm going to get what I want.
I want what I fucking want.
We should do a Jolly Rancher.
No.
We should do whatever I'm paying for.
But I don't like
if it's six different types of whiskey mixed up with some grain alcohol, you're going to drink it, aren't you? I don't want that. Fine. Mine then. I got something I wanted to drink.
That we have done before. We order like five shots, and someone's like, "Ooh, you put that's got Jägermeister. That's got a
more for us.
That's got a what's the peppermint schnapps? What the fuck is it?
Peppermint schnapps?
No. There's a specific name in the.
It's not peppermint schnapps.
Which one is it?
It's Rumpelmint.
Rumpelmints. That's
not a schnapps.
Anyway,
that is a peppermint liqueur.
Okay, I couldn't remember. Yeah. Like, ooh, it's got
Schnips is about like 12 to 20% alcohol.
Okay.
Rumpelmintz is 50%.
Okay.
100 proof.
Got it.
Room temperature, it burns. That's why you refrigerate the fuck out of it. That and it tastes shitty.
Most of the time when we would order the Screamin' Nazi. Everybody was like, oh, it's got Rumpelmintz in it. I don't want to drink that. And I'm like, well, fuck you. I'll drink that because that's too
Yeah, they see the Jaeger. They see the Goldschlager and the Rumpelmintz going. They're like, oh, that's nice. Then they put the Jaeger and they're like, oh, no. Like, oh, no. We bought five shots of Screaming Nazis. What are we? I guess we'll have to drink them all.
I think you didn't want one? Oh, drink
your lips through the gums.
Well, I told you how I got introduced to Jaeger, right?
I think you have before, but I don't remember it.
He was drinking like a gallon of it or something.
No. Friday afternoon, we were just having a barracks party. You know, like one dude went out and just bought a shit ton of beer and said, hey, man, when work's over, come over to my place. You know, of course, I had duty that night. So I come walking in about 7 o'clock still in uniform. It was my roommate that was throwing the fucking party. And that's why he did it, because he knew I wouldn't be home for a few hours. And I'm like, all right. So I come walking in, still in uniform, you know, and he goes, hey, man, hit this, and hands me a green bottle. That's room temperature that I didn't know what it was. He goes, here, hit this. And
if you're drinking Jaeger at room temperature, you got to be ready for it.
Yeah. So
I don't mind it.
I don't mind it.
But you got to remember, it's Jaeger. At room temperature,
yeah.
I've never had nor heard of.
That's what I'm saying.
Jaeger.
You have to know that it's Jägermeister that you're drinking at room temperature and you can stomach it.
I hadn't eaten all day.
Ooh.
Well, you're certainly not going to eat now.
And this is my first drink of the day. So I'm stone perfect sober. I've had no desensitization going on
whatsoever.
That's
the worst way to drink room temperature Jaeger.
And that's how I was introduced to you. Here, man, hit this. What is it? Hit it. Fuck it. what the nasty fucking shit is that?
Yeah, it's gross at room temperature.
It tastes like Tussin.
And goes, black licorice Robitussin.
Yeah. That is the best way to describe that shit.
About 5 seconds later, I'm like,
yeah.
About 5 seconds later, I'm like,
I like that.
Give me more.
That sucked. But let me hit that.
That
again.
Was terrible. Give me another.
Yeah. I think this is awful.
About 20 minutes later, I've got.
It's green.
About 20 minutes later, I've got my cami pants on, and that's it.
And half the bottle of Jägermeister.
And half the bottle of yeah. And I'm out on our rooms open outdoors, Southern California.
Yeah.
The rooms opened up outside, and you had about a 6 foot concrete catwalk, and then a concrete retaining wall type thing, like 3 feet tall. And we're on the first floor, so I'm up like on one leg, wearing nothing but my pants, holding the bar out like this, going woo.
Yep, that's Jaeger. That's fucking Jaeger.
David Tell wanted to do a bunch of, like, he wanted to be in charge of advertising for Jaeger, and he did a few of them during his stand-up routine back in the day, but he's like randomly between jokes, is almost a segue, he'd be like,
did I eat a midget last night?
Yeah.
Jaeger.
That's how I felt the next day. Of course, I remember one time we were doing birthday ball season, and I've told you about that. It's basically, you know, if you're in the band like I was, it's basically a three week drunk.
Yeah.
Because you go to these things and you do your 1.5 hour gig.
Then you get trashed.
Right. And then, you know, especially if it's like an officer's ball or a senior enlisted ball.
Yeah.
As soon as you get done, then the colonel walks over and says, hey, you guys did pretty good. Let me buy you a fucking drink. And then, okay, you know, so he buys the whole band a drink. We drink the drink, and about the time we're done with that one, then the lieutenant colonel comes up and says, hey, you guys did pretty good. Let me buy you.
See, this, he described the difference between, like, Jaeger and normal whiskeys, like Jack Daniels or anything else. He's everybody wants Jack Daniels to get fucked up. He's like, the difference between Jack Daniels and Jaeger is when you drink a shitload of Jack Daniels or Jim Beam, you know where you're going to be. You're going to be on a tile floor, whether it's a bathroom, a kitchen, a fucking Walmart. You're going to be laying on a tile floor, right, and vomit will be within 10 feet of you somewhere in the room. Jaeger, it's not where you wake up, it's when you wake up. Uh-huh. Because you're not sure exactly how much time has passed. For all you know,
it's so true.
You're back in 1872 on a cattle drive in Colorado. Right.
Well, that's what I was getting to.
Jaeger is a fucking time warp, man.
Well, that's where I was getting to, is the E Club in El Toro was like right across the street from my barracks.
Oh, shit.
So it was maybe a 200-yard walk. We're doing a birthday ball there for, you know, a junior enlisted, so we're buying our own drinks. Well, I'm going to tell you his name. His name was Sergeant Mooney.
Yeah.
He decided that him and I were going to do Jaeger shots all night.
That's a good night.
Well, he was buying.
That's adventure night is what ends up happening there. You go on adventures when you were drinking.
That's exactly what he did, too. About an hour and a half later, probably 12 shots in, he all of a sudden decides to go walkabout.
Yep. Oh, yeah. The Gandhi Constitutional.
The Barefoot Wonder.
The Barefoot Bandit. He just fucking wander, get him drunk.
No, he just, we're sitting at the bar, we're talking, he takes the last shot.
Yep.
Looks in the mirror.
No, that's the Pete Constitution. That's the Pete Johnson Constitutional. I gotta
go for a walk.
No, he didn't even do that. He takes the shot, and then he looks in the bar mirror for about 2 minutes, and just...
Yep.
It's a sensation where you think you're drunk enough that if you walk for a little bit, uh-huh, you can walk it off.
Yeah, he just looks at himself. He looks at himself in the mirror for about 2 minutes. Now, I was smart enough. I knew he just wanted to get blasted. I was alternating shot or Jaeger and beer.
Mm-hmm.
So I was toasted, but I wasn't gone. Yeah. Toasted, right?
Where the fuck's my friend going?
I was aware enough that I didn't lose anything from the night. You know what I mean? And no, he just sits there and he looks at himself for like 2 minutes. And he just tunnel visioned into this mirror, just looking at himself. And then all of a sudden just gets up and walks out.
Yeah.
Doesn't say anything. Doesn't,
that is the Pete Johnson constitutional.
Just gets up and walks out.
Nope, I'm done. I'm going to go.
Right. Gets up, walks
anybody
out.
Anybody seen
right?
Pete? Shit.
Fuck, check the bridge. Right. Why? He's going to Iowa. No one knows why.
So I follow him
out. Bridges, I-74. Check the fucking bridge.
Right. So I follow him out, right? And he's walking towards the staff NCO barracks, which are like a mile and a half this way. I go, hey, Sergeant Mooney, where are you going? I'm going home. No, you're not. Home's over this way. Uh-uh. We live over there. No, we live over there. Uh-uh.
I know. Man, you don't shut the fuck up. I'm going to beat the shit out of you. I know
get
where
in
I
this fucking car.
No, we're literally right. You
oh,
can
I know.
See our
I've had
from
this
there.
Conversation with someone before. It wasn't him. It was somebody else. I was like, you're going the wrong fucking way. Mm-hmm. Nope. I know where I'm going.
Imagine, Pete, imagine if the Shell station was the E-Club. That's how far or close we were to the...
Oh, I know
this. No, I understand.
I get you. I totally get what you're talking about because I've had this conversation with somebody else. It was actually Critchfield. We chased his drunk ass up from Fusion, right? Up Marquette Street from Fusion. Right.
No. So I'm like, no, we live over there in the barracks, not the staff NCO barracks. No, I got to go over that way. I live in that apartment right there. I got to go home and see my wife. Dude, you divorced her a year and a half ago. What? No. Yeah. No.
You're divorced. You're back. He's literally gone back in time.
Right.
He might have lived there for all you knew a year and a half or two years ago.
He wouldn't have. He would not have lived there.
Fine. Then he actually went full karma and he's in someone else's life. He quantum leaped right. through Jaeger.
So I was like, dude, no, we live over in the enlisted barracks.
I wish I was there. I would have ziggied him. Ziggy's saying we got to go to these barracks.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No. So I just walk up behind him and I, you know, grab him by the shoulder and then just kind of start steering him towards the bar. But he keeps resisting and keeps trying to turn back. So I had to keep steering.
Right.
I finally get him to his room. And he looks around and he goes, that's my stuff on the wall.
Like you were lying to him. Yeah. Like you didn't believe you. He's like, no. Nope.
He's officially like 10 years old again. He doesn't remember where he, but he still thinks he's married. He's literally in between time.
Right.
Thank you, Jaeger.
Right. So I go, lay down on the bunk. And he's still in full dress blues. You know? He goes, okay, Dad. Lays down, out. Just gone, out.
Yep.
Jules Verne would be proud.
Yep.
Jaeger's a time machine.
So I decide at this point that I need to stay in the room with him. And I even took a door chalk.
That way when you passed out, he didn't fucking wander
exactly,
away.
Exactly, and jammed it in the door so he couldn't open the door from the inside.
Oh, yeah. No.
About 20 minutes later, he gets up and he's pulling on the door.
Like, it's fucking
lay the fuck down.
No, he is yanking on this door, beating the piss out of it, and then starts going, officer, officer, you got to let me out.
I got to go home to my wife.
Yeah.
I demand a lawyer. I would have fucked with him. I would have put the sheet over my head, go up to him, hi, I'm your lawyer. I'm here to get you out, son. You murdered a lot of people.
No, I didn't think about that.
Did you ever hear the Sinbad routine when he says...
Well, no, I'm not done yet.
Oh, here we go.
So he sits back down on the bunk, puts his elbows on his knees, and does the thinker thing, you know. He sits there like this for a minute.
Through the back, through the window. He went through the window.
No.
Oh.
No, he's looking like across at me, but he's not looking at me. You know, he's kind of looking through me, you know, that kind of thing. And then starts going, I really miss my wife. I love her.
There's the crash.
I'm a dick. Yeah.
The crash.
And then, like you said, he crashed. Then all of a sudden he just goes,
bloop.
Yeah. Boom.
Just leans back.
He slid into the inn and went down he went.
Yep. Wake up the next morning about 11 o'clock in the morning. And he's back in that position.
He's still drunk.
No. He's just hung over like fuck. I wake up and I see him just sitting there like that. I'm like, you okay? He goes, was I talking about my wife last night? I said, yeah. Did I say I still loved her? Yeah. God damn, I was drunk.
Yep.
As I said, you go on an adventure. You do things. You wander off.
And that was the last time I drank Jaeger.
I like those nights. I go on adventures, man. The Matt Reefer Jaeger train is fantastic. Just get on. Just get on the train. We don't know where we're going. No one knows where we're going.
Matter of fact, I think that was the last night I ever drank anything besides beer.
The person that taught me to fuck with people when they were fucked up was Sinbad, because he did a stand-up routine, and he said that he didn't smoke crack, but his friends tried crack every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So he went over to his friend's house, and his friend lived in an apartment building, and he gets up into the apartment building, and he could tell they had been smoking crack. One of the guys was passed out, and the other guy was kind of freaking out on the bed. And he's like, what's going on, Jay? And he's like, Sinbad, I can't feel my legs. And Sinbad's like, you know what? I'm going to get this guy off crack once and for all. So he just looks at him and goes, Jay, you ain't got no legs. They done jumped off your body. What? Yeah, they passed me in the hall. You got to go get my legs. And he starts trying to claw his way off the bed. You got to go get my legs. And Sinbad goes over the window. He's like, oh, man, your legs got hit by a car, man. Your legs are dead. No, not my legs. Not my legs. He goes, my friend got clean in 2 months. Comes up to me the next day. He's like, yo, man, that was fucked up.
I always forget how funny he is.
Yeah.
Especially as a stand-up.
His early stand-up was pretty funny.
We were joking the other day on Curse. Something. Do you know Gandhi got a gun?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, nowadays, man, kids are under too much pressure, man. You got to take a test to get in kindergarten. How can you not be smart enough to go to kindergarten? If you can take a nap, you in. That's all we did in kindergarten. Take a nap, eat some graham crackers. And if you was a genius, they'd let you pass them out because you could break them on the line.
I always hate it when there's that one little corner that stays chipped. You're like, you know what?
Oh,
fuck you.
You fucking piece of shit.
I got you all the way down, then right at the end. Fuck.
You couldn't give a kid a dollar in the 70s. He'd OD. They'd find you in an alley somewhere. Sugar babies all around you on the ground. Just killed yourself with sugar babies. And the other kids be going, you ain't gonna need them jawbreakers. And back then, candy was candy. A jawbreaker breaks your jaw. Wasn't no gum in the middle of a jawbreaker. It was a rock with some candy around. You wasn't supposed to get to the middle. You can only suck it 5 seconds at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they were the size of a fucking grapefruit.
And know what everybody was strung out on? Pixie sticks. Kool-Aid and a straw. That was our crack. Kids be on the playground. I heard you had some pixie stick in the pixie bushes. Yeah, what you want, great lemon lime? And you had that big plastic one, 5 gallons of Kool-Aid. And put some in your hand. And you'd be happy, man. And know what you would save for last? That candy necklace. Oh, you would put it on. You wouldn't eat that till like 6 o'clock. Your neck would be 12 different colors. Half the candy just sweated down your neck. Bugs and dirt stuck to the candy. And you'd pop that string in your mouth. It's a good thing we didn't have diseases back then. Could you let your friends get back? Go ahead and get some, man. Snap that slob right back on your neck. Oh, it was messed up, man. And I think also what's wrong with kids now, they don't have no curfew. Kids don't know when to come home. Back then, as soon as the street light came on, you better have your butt on the porch. Ain't nothing to talk about, ain't no negotiation. I mean, one time I mistimed it. I was outside. Street light! Street light! Oh. My father was on the porch. Boy, the light wasn't even up full yet. I dove. What's for dinner, Dad? And my dad was proud. Look, that boy jump. That boy can jump. But you know what ain't changed? Curfew. Curfew has not changed, has it? No, man, you look back now, curfews, man, kids, man. Nowadays, was it midnight? Huh? That's what they try to say, midnight, right? But my man, y'all, no, man, you know. Y'all lying. Oh, I stay out, you know, I don't want it. No, we got here about 18, 19 years old. What's 19 year old? Oh, they're at home. Must be curfew. Look, my man. He sounded like he was old. Be 20 in 11 months, though. See, nobody want to be a teenager because people give teenagers a hard rap. Because basically, y'all got hormone problems. Y'all don't know what you want when you're a teenager. See, your parents used to be cool. You messed them up. You think your parents ain't cool? They used to be cool. Once you have kids, you can't be cool no more. They make you lose your mind. Lying and cheating and stealing and giving stuff. And they always try to use your words, don't you? No, no. You said. And you make us go, I know what I said. I know what I said. And then they go, why are you hollering, Daddy? Why are you hollering? I ain't hollering. I ain't hollering.
All right. Oh, Matt went upstairs.
Yeah, he's got to poop.
You couldn't have done that before we started the show. You didn't think about that before we started the show? We've only been on the road an hour and 48 minutes.
We're halfway there. Hold it.
Hold it. I get taking a leak, but damn.
My dad figured it out really quick. It was the rest areas.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the rest areas, there's only like one candy machine and one soda machine.
Yeah.
There's no stupid shit to buy. So you could look at a map. You could run around in like a park type area for a minute or two, and then it's back in the car.
No, what always happened to me is, you know, we'd be going down to grandma's or something like that. We'd be coming up on a rest area. You know, a rest area, 2 miles. My mom turned around and said, you got to go? No, I don't got to go, Mom. You're about 2 miles past the rest area. Mom, I got to go.
Well, you're waiting. But
ours was on the way to Florida, which is really cool about the interstate system. Like, I don't know. Do they have it on the East Coast or like out in Pennsylvania, Indiana and everything, the rest area system?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know that was like a weird thing that the rest areas like out west are basically like outhouse, shit house.
Mm-hmm.
Like one toilet for men, one toilet for women, and there you go.
Out east, especially on the toll roads, they're actually fucking little shopping centers. They'll have a fast food place and a gas station and stuff like that in them.
But the ones like here in Des Moines, or in Iowa, is what I meant to say, like along Iowa 80 and everything.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's the truck stop. I-80, Jesus, are basically the same as you would run into all the way down south.
Right.
My dad was genius.
Yeah, it's just a building with a bathroom and a couple of bathrooms. And
whenever we'd go on like a
stuff like that.
On a week vacation for like a year or whatever to Florida, it was we weren't allowed back in the car until we did like 7 laps around the entire sidewalk.
You burn off your energy.
And we go back in the car and it wasn't even 30 minutes. Me and my brother are sleeping. I'm like, God damn it, you scumbag. You figured it out. Dad, I don't want to run. We're not moving the car until you do 8 laps.
Nope.
Jesus Christ, Dad.
Regardless of what you think about him drugging women or not.
But I really want to study. I really want to study this whole thing of drinking, getting drunk, and people saying that they're having a good time. Because if you put on a good suit or whatever, and you say, I'm going out to have a good time. But some people announce it. I'm going out because I deserve to go out, and I'm going to get drunk because I deserve to get drunk. And get out of my way. Now these people get up there, and they drink, and they drink, and they drink. And the body begins to tell you,
please, you better slow down.
So now you have a person who came in and they were walking like this. See, there's different kinds of walks for drunken people. Now, for instance, if you just have a regular old raggedy bourbon drunk, you know, mm-hmm. They go like...
Hand in the pocket, just swerving around.
You know, and they're really trying to maintain. And the people keep leaning the room on them, you know.
Stop moving the floor, damn
now
it.
Now you can get a gin drunk. Gin and vodka, you know, martini. Now these are the people, very, you know, they have their own business. Mm-hmm. And they just stop off about 6 or 7. Yeah. And their fingers pickled because that's what they stare to drink up with.
It's almost gone. There's a napkin right there.
And they do a lot of this when they talk. With a drink. So you drink spurps on your shoe, you know. You know, and you're looking at your shoe. You know. And they hum a lot when they fall. How have you been? It's fine. Yeah, nice to see your game.
He can't hear it.
Oh, pardon me.
I'll back it up a second here.
You know, he's talking about humming when you're drinking
this
vodka.
This is gin and vodka.
Know, and you're looking at your shoe. And they hum a lot when they fall. How have you been? It's fine. Yeah, nice to see your game. Oh, pardon me. You know, very smooth people, you know. See, then, of course, the obvious one is the winos. But see, winos, once they get down to where they cannot walk anymore, you know, they just kind of heel toe it, you know. Just kind of easy going to get it.
I've been there.
Now, you have, like, since the country western thing has happened, you got all these people with the cowboy hats and a buckle. And they just drink a lot of beer. And see, there they are. See, and beer drinkers are really different people because they, something happens to their hearing. They go almost, they have everything. Hey! Now, they drink a lot of beer, and the beer does not go here. It goes in one leg. And when that leg fills up, then they have to take it to the John, see? And so when they walk, you know, they're
dragging the one leg.
Now, when they come out of the bathroom, then you can tell, see? So it's empty now, you
no,
see.
No, the one, it's coming
they
up.
They step up to the bar and fill it back up. Now, when it gets so that, you know, it's like, it's, I gotta go, hey, I've got to go again. Oh! But this is always like this, always hanging out. And you keep doing like this, and I think, but, anyone to go ride this mechanical animal and fall and bust their face, you know. I rode the bull at Jilly's and bust my face, you know. Picture of an idiot in action. But now, the person who has dedicated themselves to going out and getting so drunk that they're going to get sick is all-time dumb person. They stand there, this drinking, drinking. Now, the body says,
don't take another drink.
Fuck you.
I know what I'm about. I know what I'm...
So you reach out, and you go in the stomach, say, messengers come down, he's taking another drink. All right. Reverse gears, but just take it up to the top of the neck. This stuff comes up to here. Now give him a small burp.
Yeah, I've had that. That's... Yeah, yeah.
Turn on the sweat machine.
Yep.
Now people say, are you all right?
I'm fine.
Of course I'm going to see.
I'm fine. I got to go outside for a minute.
Now you've
that.
Got to go.
If you ever so hear you me say I got to go outside for a cigarette and I look like I'm
close
about to puke, that's because I'm going outside. Mm-hmm. To smoke
don't
the
forget,
cigarette.
You owe this to yourself.
And probably puke.
You worked hard all week. It's come to this.
Here's Matt's prayer.
I've made that noise before.
Oh, God.
That's Matt in the bathroom when he gets drunk here.
Ooh.
Or anywhere.
That's a wonder.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God. I think I'm gonna vomit.
Oh, God. If you get me out of this, I won't drink again.
I never say that because I know I'm gonna do it again. It's just.
Oh, God. Now you are ready to put your face in a place that was never built for your face. Now you feel it coming. All right, I'm ready. Holding on. Going for a ride, yes. Bring it out, yes. Here it comes, on. We explode. And your muscles lock everything.
And you wouldn't be surprised. You would not be surprised if you saw your shoes come out of your mouth. You say, yes! Now that wave has stopped. You say, ugh. You put your head on the side of the bowl.
Yep.
And you thank the toilet bowl. Thank you, toilet bowl. Thank you so much for being cool on the side. Only you understand me, toilet bowl. You're the only friend I have. My wonderful toilet bowl. Now, people
see, he
keep
laughs
coming
when
to
I
the
say
door.
That's what you do when you go
are
into
you
the bathroom.
Really
he sleeps with his arm around
and
the toilet
said, oh, yeah.
And his the right
I'm
side or left
like
side of his head snuggled up against below
he's
the bowl.
He's having a little picnic.
Yeah.
Just listening to the toilet.
You
bowl.
Want to know the? There's perfect logic behind this.
And that's called having a good time.
It's not that there's no logic to it. It's just adorable. Because whenever you've been drinking, I hear the bathroom door open and a traditional flump sound. Which is Matt laying down on the bathroom floor of wherever we are. And I know, well, if I have to pee, I'm going to have to yell that fucker out of the bathroom for 20 seconds. Yeah, you're going to leave and you're going to hear flump again. He'll be able to rouse himself for 30 seconds to let you pee. Then he needs to go right back into that position to be okay.
Yep. Well, that's because I don't trust myself being out around carpet. I'm like a dog.
It's like a security blanket when you're drunk.
The nice, cool linoleum floor with no blanket. And I know that if I puke...
And no pants and no shirt on.
Yeah. If I puke all over this place, it's nasty, but it's going to be a mop and an easy cleanup. That's it. I'm not getting the... I don't have to get the Resolve out and scrub the fucking carpets.
Excuse me. Have you ever been in Schenectady? No, I never was in Schenectady. Neither was I. It must have been a couple other guys. But I still have a feeling I've seen your face someplace else.
No, it's always been right here. Right on top of my neck. Maybe you've seen me on television.
Oh no, I've never been on television. Is it all right? If I join you, I just dropped in for a little drink to settle my nerves before I go to work. Work.
What sort of work do you do?
I'm an airline pilot.
Actually, really quick, I want you to look up the Bill Brasky sketch.
How did you get to be an airline pilot?
I used to be a book. I used to be a bus driver. But I quit. Too many drunks on the road.
What do you fly?
Horse one of those big gray metal things with what you call it sticking out on the side.
Wings?
Are you an airline pilot?
I've been pretty high in my time. Did you ever have any close calls as a pilot?
Oh, yes, sir, especially since they moved the men's room to the back of the plane.
I was on a flight from New York to L.A. a couple weeks ago, and the plane lost an engine.
Oh, don't worry, it'll turn up. You know, there's a lot of pressure being a pilot. Flying way up there and high in the air and off above all those
who is this?
White fluffy
Brooks
things.
Foster.
Clouds?
Or Foster Brooks, I'm sorry.
You sure you're not a pilot? And you know, at the same time, it's quite a sobering thought and a very inspiring feeling to realize that there are hundreds of people on my plane all depending on me. And to that, I happen to hold their lives right in the palm of my hand. I got it.
Yes.
Dean Martin is just losing it.
Yeah. I gotta get to the airport because I'm flying a 747. I'm flying a 747 to London tonight, and the plane is scheduled to leave precisely 1 hour and 43 minutes ago.
All right, what am I looking up?
This is our group of friends when we're drunk. Look up Bill Brasky. It's a Saturday Night Live sketch. I don't know about the quality.
Okay. It's coming. I'm pulling the one up from NBC, so it's just taking a minute. You know, slow-ass computer and all that. Come on. Wow, this is slow. Of course, it's got all that background crap, too, you know. So it's just going to sit here and annoy us for a minute while the video is loading. Let's see. John Goodman, Will Ferrell, and Alec Baldwin. Okay.
The market's up 80 points.
I'll never figure out this market. One day she's up. The next day she's up.
Hey, do you fellas know a guy by the name of Bill Brasky?
Yeah, I know Bill Brasky. He's a 10-foot-tall beast man who showers in vodka and feeds his baby shrimp scampi. Best damn trader on the floor.
Yes.
He orchestrated the merger between Unisup and Smith & Wesson. With his own buttocks and made $7 million.
To Bill Brasky.
Bill Brasky!
Did I ever tell you about the time Brasky went hunting?
I masturbate to the Teletubbies.
Anyway, Brasky decides he's going to hunt down all four of the banana splits. He stalks and kills every one of them with a machete. They all beg for their lives, except Flegel.
We once had a bachelor party for Brasky. He ate the entire cake before we could tell him there was a stripper in it. Brasky once hosted the Grammys and gave every award to Corey Hart.
He has a toenail on the end of his penis.
Brasky got his wife pregnant, and she gave birth to a delicious 16-ounce steak. The afterbirth was sautéed mushrooms.
Brasky's family crest is a picture of a barracuda eating Neil Armstrong.
Brasky's ranked 18th in the AP college football poll.
To Bill Brasky!
Bill Brasky!
Excuse me, do you know where the payphone is?
Piss off, sister, and get us some pretzels.
Yeah.
You men smell awful.
Did I ever tell you about the time Brasky was in a production of The King and I?
Every morning I crap the bed.
Anyway, the opening night Brasky chloroforms the entire cast and slowly eats them in front of the audience for 2 hours. The production got pretty good reviews. He breastfeeds John Madden.
Brasky named the group Sean Arnaud. They did not want to be called that.
If you drop a phonograph needle on Brasky's nipple, it plays the Beach Boys' pet sound. They use Brasky's foreskin as a tarp when it rains at Yankee Stadium.
Brasky directed that commercial where the women play basketball in high heels.
Yeah. He wears a live rattlesnake as a condom. Oh, the Yes album covers are Brasky family photos. Daryl Dawkins has a summer home in Brasky's groin. To Bill Brasky!
Bill Brasky! Oh. Hey, did I ever tell you about the time Brasky taught his son how to drive?
I'm legally retarded.
Anyway, Brasky taught his son how to drive by entering him into the Indy 500. The kid wrecked and died. Brasky said it would have happened sometime.
Brasky semen can form into a liquid human.
Like the guy from Terminator 2.
Yeah. Brasky still believes in Santa Claus, and he wants to put him in porno films. He thinks the Iron Man is gay. He framed Roger Rabbit.
Brasky used to ride upon a steed, perchance to spy a lady.
Oh, yeah. The character of Johnny Appleseed was based on Brasky, except for the part about planting apple trees and not raping men. He got a hand job to a manta ray.
Hartford Lesser Hager!
I hear you, buddy.
Bill Brasky! Bill Brasky!
Oh. I'm Bill Brasky. And I just cornered the market on booze. Who wants a drink?
Bill Brasky!
You gotta do Bill Brasky's funeral.
Oh, God, you're kidding me.
the one where Will Ferrell tells him about Bill Brasky once invited me out for a drink. We went and sat in a field for 3 months while a bar was built around it. Just wait for it. The punchline of that one story gets me every time.
Do they not have it, or is it loading?
It's loading.
Okay. No, we usually, when we get drunk enough, we remember, like, one of the five or six characters loosely associated with our group and the shenanigans they pull, and just regale the stories over and over again.
Over and over again.
Oh, I know. We've had a couple of drunk shows where that's happened.
And it's, they are
many sides. Okay. Basketball star and fashion icon Russell West.
Ad.
Oh. We don't quite assume that every woman that walks by works there, but I think this is the one where the woman comes up and asks him a question like, "And could you get us some more ice, girly?" That's a long ad.
Yeah, it's a full-on ad.
It's fucking movies now.
Oh, my. Have you fellas ever worked with a guy by the name of Bill Brasky?
Bill Brasky!
No, that's another one, though.
Sure have. And I tell you one thing, Bill Brasky is a son of a bitch.
Best damn salesman in the office.
You know he goes about 6'8", 340 pounds.
Did I ever tell you about the time Bill Brasky forced me to wear a woman's bikini around the office?
Oh, God, I love this story.
And I'd love to have sex with your wife.
Anyway, Brasky tears off my
clothes. We do that.
And makes me wear this skimpy bikini. For the next 3 months, I had to conduct all my business wearing a woman's bathing suit. I would cry from shame and question my manhood daily. but at the end of the quarter, I'll be damned if my sales hadn't tripled.
Hold the bill, Brad! Did I ever tell you I had my gallbladder removed?
Well, who the freak
has? No, right.
Anyways, I'm on the operating table. Right before I'm about to go under, I look up, and I see Brasky wearing a surgical gown and drinking a bottle of Captain Morgan spiced rum.
Oh, that stuff is delicious.
It certainly is.
You know, I'm an alcoholic.
So I wake up in my hospital. Brasky's there going through my wallet and says, Ted, I put a trumpet inside you. He leaned over, put his lips on my wound, and plays the most beautiful version of Caravan you'd ever heard.
He goes about 7'10", 5'9".
He'll eat a homeless person if you dare him.
Hey, are you guys talking about Bill Brasky?
We certainly are.
I know Bill Brasky.
Then let me buy you a round. Yeah.
Attaboy, Hank. Now, wait, hey, listen up. You know, you gentlemen know how I like to steal loose change and valuables from your houses whenever I'm over. Anyway, here's a Brasky story. One time, I asked Brasky to dress up like Santa for a Christmas party I was throwing for my children. You know, Jacob and Christine.
Sure, they're dumb as rocks, and they always have dirty faces.
Yep, that's that. Well, Brasky shows up at Santa, reaches into his bag, and says, I've got goodies for you, kids. He proceeds to hand out scrap metal and cigarettes to him. Then he takes off his beard and says, there's no Santa, because I ate him.
Brasky's a son of a bitch.
Brasky!
You know, Brasky goes about 9'8", 790 pounds.
Oh, you know he sheds his skin once a year?
I once saw him scissor kick Angela Lansbury.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I went horseback riding with Brasky? But there weren't any horses around.
Hey, a silver soda.
Make that four.
Yeah.
Well, Brasky throws a saddle on my back and rides me. Oh, easy there, Hank. There's no scotch in that glass. He throws a saddle on me and rides me around Wyoming for 3 days. Well, wouldn't you know it, my stamina increases with each day, and I develop tremendous leg muscle. Yeah, tremendous leg muscle. So anyway, Brasky decides to enter me in the Breeders' Cup, right? Under the name Turkish Delight. And I'm running in second place, and I'm running, and I break my ankle. So anyway, they're about to shoot me.
The Scott glasses are about
to shoot. Someone from the crowd yells out, God bless him, don't shoot him, he's a human.
Hey, I lost money on you.
Hey, I like you a lot.
I like you.
Hey, is this guy going to hurt me?
No, he likes you. He likes
you. Oh, he jumped off the Empire State Building this one time, and he only sprained his ankle.
Like an alligator, he can fully digest a turtle shell.
His favorite TV movie is The Boy in the Plastic Bubble, starring John Travolta's.
Yeah. He'll gorge Hulkins and figure like a...
Gentlemen, I'm the new bartender. Who wants a cocktail?
No, the funeral is the best one. I think they only did a total of three.
No, he likes you. He likes you. Mm. We've actually had to do that with Cooter before.
Yeah, when he puts somebody in a headlock.
Or he bumps into him really hard or shoves him in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Are you fighting me? No, he's just really happy.
No, he's really happy. He's just
drunk. He drinks like a dwarf. He wants to headbutt shit when he's in a good mood.
This is it.
for the scene for Matt, there's a giant ass coffin where the bar should be.
Nice.
And these guys are going to come in from the side holding giant scotch glasses.
I can't believe he's gone. Best damn salesman in the office. Bill Brasky was a son of a bitch.
I'm gonna miss him.
To Bill Brasky.
Bill
Brasky.
A 10-foot monster who slept with all of our wives.
And he punched us all in the face. And we loved him for it.
He had a 4-day heart attack.
Yeah, a day for every chamber. When they did the autopsy, they said his heart was like a basketball filled with ricotta cheese.
And they found $60 in change in his stomach.
Best damn salesman in the
Bill Brasky!
Bill Brasky!
I remember one time Brasky took his family to SeaWorld.
I'm wearing a diaper.
Anyway, they were watching Shamu the Whale when Brasky got splashed.
Right.
So Brasky yells, I'm Bill Brasky and no one gets me wet. So he climbs into the tank, grabs Shamu and throws the whale into the audience. Splashes him and yells, now how do you like it? So damn if Brasky didn't step in there and finish the show.
That's just like Brasky. You know, he would shoot whiskey into his neck with a syringe.
He did all the makeup on the Planet of the Apes movie.
He taught me how to love a woman and how to scold a child.
He had dandruff the size of mice.
To Bill Brasky!
To Bill Brasky!
Did I ever tell you about the time Brasky took me out to go get a drink with him?
I'm a convicted sex offender.
Anyways, we go off looking for a bar and we can't find one. Finally, Brasky takes me into a vacant lot and says, here we are. Well, we sat there for a year and a half until, sure enough, someone constructed a bar around us.
P.J. McGinty.
That's right. Well, the day they opened it, we ordered a shot, drank it, and then burnt the place to the ground. Brasky yelled over the roar of the flames, always leave things the way you found them.
He once punched a hole in a cow just so he could see who was coming up the road. He had 9 children, all of them boys.
Hell, he sired a baseball team.
An orchestra, if you count the bastards.
To Bill
Murray! Excuse me, could you gentlemen please keep it down? This is a funeral.
Oh, sorry. Hey, you mind getting us some fresh ice there, girlie?
Yeah.
You are horrible men.
Did I ever tell you about the time I had breakfast with Brasky?
My Uncle Hal molested me.
Anyways, Brasky drank a full glass of liquid LSD with his eggs. Then he slept for 8 months straight. When he woke up, he rubbed his eyes and said, all in all, I prefer gin.
Bill Brasky! They say Gene Roddenberry got the idea for Star Trek from Brasky talking in his sleep.
He once dragged an injured flamingo back to health. He used to jog around the block with a fridge on his back.
His poop is considered currency in Argentina.
He hated Mexico.
And he was half Mexican.
And he hated irony. He grew a third arm and kept it in a vault.
He slept 8 hours a night. Well, he was pretty normal when it came to that.
Excuse me. Are you guys talking about Bill Brasky?
We certainly are!
I know Bill Brasky!
I like you!
To Bill Brasky!
To Bill Brasky!
I'm back. Now top me off, you bastards.
Bill Brasky!
That's awesome.
Always leave things how you found them. Oh.
An orchestra, if you count the bastards.
Alec Baldwin nailed that sketch so many times for that.
An orchestra, if you count the bastards.
That's the only thing I find Alec Baldwin palatable in.
He once punched a hole in a cow just to see who was coming up the road.
That's actually just Farrell pulling off his Harry Carey impersonation is really what that is.
A little bit, yeah.
His Harry Carey impression still stands alone.
I know, but what I mean is he basically just channeled his Harry Carey.
A little bit, yeah. I definitely hear it.
There we go.
I gotta tell
you. That was me. That was my weekend.
I bet this is really going to be the Cubs year. They've got a great lineup with Grace and Dawson. I just know I wouldn't want to face them.
I can't hear that. What is that?
I just hope, you know, that Maddox and Sutcliffe can lead them in the rotation.
Turn on. Let me see the audience. I'm sorry. There's something going on.
I think that really it's going to be an outstanding year for the Cubs.
I don't.
He's just in the audience. Talking into a microphone.
Ladies and gentlemen, look at that. It's announcing great Harry Carey. Stand up, Harry. Come on, stand up. Hi, everybody. Harry Carey.
So I'm just changing the quality
it's
so it won't skip
you.
As much.
Harry. Nice to see it's Dave. The late Harry Carey, ladies and gentlemen. Harry, we're right in the middle of the show, but thanks for stopping by. It's great to see you, Harry Carey.
Oh, I'd love to come up on the stage.
No, that's not what I said.
Thank you.
I'd love to come up on the stage.
I love it.
Hi, Harry.
Hi.
Good to see you.
You know what? You know what, Ed? It's great to be here. When is Topo Gigio coming out?
Well, Topo Gigio is not coming out because I'm not Ed.
Hey, isn't it true you're retiring, Ed?
Yes. Yes, half of that is right, Harry.
That's a good call. Uh-huh. Yeah. I could tell you were losing a little mustard off the heater.
Uh-huh.
Hey, what are we going to do about this wall in Berlin? Uh-huh. I'm worried sick about it.
I think that came down years ago. I don't think that's a problem anymore.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Hey, is there anything this Obama can't do?
Yeah.
You should think about having it on your show.
I know. We're looking into it. But very busy.
And the 2-0 pitch is in there to Dunston. Uh-huh. Strike on the corner. Mm-hmm. Listen, I got to go now. Uh-huh. I'm getting dinner at Patsy's with Frank Crosetti and Phil Rizzuto. The Money Store.
Uh-huh.
The Money Store.
I like to start with a nice antipasto salad. Mm-hmm. It has lettuce,
right.
Onion,
sure.
olives, artichoke, and olives.
Olives, right.
Then I wash it down with a nice cool Budweiser.
All right, great.
Budweiser. The king of beer.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Hey, hit me with a little organ, Paul.
A little organ, Paul.
Let me root for the Cubbies if they
Harry
don't
Carey,
win.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Cause it's 1, 2, 3 strike your out at the old organ. Come win.
Did I ever have you watch the audition for Will Ferrell to Saturday Night Live?
Mm-mm.
Oh my God, that is probably one of the funniest. I've seen it. It's fucking hilarious.
You might want to check it out. Part of it is he pretends he's a cat and plays with a cat toy on the stage, which is his improv skills. And then he does like character creation, which I forget what the name of the character was, but I think it was like Angry Dad at a Barbecue. Get off the roof!
Get off the roof!
Or get off the shed. Get off the shed.
Yeah.
Next half hour or so. I've got a lot of paperwork I need to do. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, this is a businessman that locks his door, holds his calls, and plays with kitty toys.
Tell Don Jacobs to hold. Yes. No, I'm busy. Thank you.
He kind of nails it, though, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Is he laying on the floor yet? Yeah, he's doing the side and he's batting it. Mm-hmm.
This is completely a visual for...
Yeah. He's got to wait to get through this and then...
Was that it?
That was it.
Oh, no, he does his character after that. This is actually one of the few times Lorne Michaels was doing the auditions for this set because the ratings tanked like 93 to 95 hard.
Mm-hmm.
And NBC insisted he be part of the production, like hands on completely. That's why in so many different like sidebar sketches.
Here's 9 SNL auditions that you need to watch. And the first one kind of makes me say, yes, we need to actually watch these because the first one is Phil Hartman's.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. That's,
but, yeah, all the, like, late 90s sketches where Lorne Michaels was, like, in all the in-between sketches and in some of the cold open sketches and stuff like that, that was actually NBC insisting he be on hand for production. Mm-hmm. So if he had to be in sketches...
What am I going to do? Just some characters and different things. I won't take a lot of you.
Then he would have to be in the studio at least 1 or 2 days a week and like be there
it's
to see if people were being
that
shitty.
Line. I'm not sure. Okay. Hello, my name is Philip Hartman, and I'd like to introduce you to some of my characters. Mr. Music, this is my favorite character. His name is Chick Hazard. He's a hard-boiled private investigator. It was midnight when it happened. I was parked in front of Four Fingers of Bourbon at the Swanee Club on La Brea Avenue. Most ex-flyboys were making babies and buying refrigerators. But in the aftermath of my POW experience, I'd rekindled a relationship with two old pals, Jack Daniels and Jim Beam. My life was rapidly going down the porcelain convenience. I could barely afford cigarettes, whiskey, and food. Looked like the food was going to have to go.
Whenever I hear his voice,
I had
like,
two things in common
I
with the colored patrons
Phil
of the Swanee Club.
Did voices for The Simpsons.
We all
he did
Nat King Cole.
Okay.
And we
Troy
were all
McClure.
That's what I figured. Yeah,
and the crooked lawyer.
On that particular night, I was dancing cheek to cheek with a tabletop.
You remember him from such educational films as
She Walked In.
Yeah,
I was a sucker for long legs. I wanted to shinny up one of hers like a native boy looking for coconuts. She was the kind of blue-eyed blonde that Hitler based his racial theories upon. Statuesque, like Lady Liberty. But I figured I'd be the one left holding the torch.
Now he's got a space gun.
It's the latest development in the world of self-defense, the stun gun from Radco. Don't put mace in someone's face. No need for messing with a Smith & Wesson. Why? Because stun gun has 3 audio-dynamic laser frequencies to meet every personal protection need. Frequency 1 is the repellent mode. Perfect for stray dogs or annoying solicitors, even keeps the most relentless Jehovah's Witness at bay. But that's not all, because frequency 2 is the stun mode. Instantly freezes any intruder in his tracks till authorities arrive. Once paralyzed, the victim can be searched, disarmed, even humiliated at whim. Yes, you haven't lived until you pants the catatonic cat burglar. But wait, there's more, because frequency 3 is the fun mode. This frequency has supersonic libido amplification power. Turns any target into a mindless, writhing sex machine. Look at Barney Brillstein go! The perfect icebreaker, the life of any party, turns that first date into a real night to remember. The stun gun from Radco stun gun. It's the fun gun.
It's a date rape gun. I get it.
You like impressions? I know you do. Let me introduce my favorite impressionist, the funniest man in Germany, Günther Jauchan.
Danke schön, guten Abend und willkommen. Mein Name ist Günther Jauchan. Wir sind auf eine fantastische Impression gesehen. Jack Benny, fantastischer amerikanischer Komiker. Jack Benny.
Nun, Rochester, ich will nicht runterkommen.
Danke, danke schön. Sie sind auf eine fantastische. Is this Herr Macho, the
holy
top
shit.
Banana with the film Flying Tigers?
He actually
look
fucking
out of his
New
way.
German.
Here he is coming. John Wayne, look out. Was du lieben, Papi? The Flunkender Depth Perception Examiner. The will nicht waffen mit der Flying Tigers. Danke. Susan, meine Favorite
is German is
Jack Nicholson.
Is, no,
in Chinatown. Jack Nicholson.
Entschuldigen Sie, Frau Mulray. Wo bist du intercoursen mit du Vater? Der will nicht deine Pregnancy mit du Sister haben.
Danke. Marijuana abuse among the elderly is rising drastically. Ironically, many youngsters are finding they can be put into a mindless stupor simply by trying to read. My favorite recent monologue is another Jack Nicholson piece. I'm nutty for this guy. It's Shakespeare's immortal classic Hamlet, updated and modernized for the contemporary audience. I'll pick it up midstream.
Of course, I didn't snap completely till last night. Check this out. Bernardo, Marcellus, and Horatio come to me and they say, Hammy, sit down. Your dad's been making nightly postmortem appearances in the West Wing. I says, Bernie, fellas, you're jacking me around. They say, no. No, it's a real mind-blowing
Jack
act,
Nicholson
though a trifle on
Hamlet.
The ghastly side. Come see for yourself. So along comes midnight and along comes dad, and he's looking real tired in a dead sort of way. And he's talking about mom, and he's talking about hell, and I'm f***ing galvanized with terror. Because I'm no Jack Armstrong when it comes to confabs with a walking dead. So then he drops the big one, about how he wasn't bitten by a snake while sleeping in the garden. But rather it seems that good old Uncle Claudius has dispatched him to the great beyond with a f***ing poison ear enema. Think about it, he says. If you need me, I'll be in purgatory. So I'm thinking about it. And tonight's the night I put old Uncle Claude to the test. And frankly, if he doesn't pass muster, he's history. I'll kick his ass so far up into his brain case, he'll have to take off his hat to shine his f***ing shoes.
Of course, I wouldn't say the word f*** on the air. I wouldn't want to be the next Charlie Rocket. Would you? I'd like to now read a few things off this note card. These are a few of the things I'd like to do on Saturday Night Live. I'd like to do Playhouse 90. 90-second dramas that are very intense. Johnny, Johnny, the cops are here! Shut up, will you? I'm trying to think! That kind of thing. I'd like to bring back You Are There, or some permutation of that great show where a narrator goes to great moments in history and talks to people. Maybe you could call it
Deep
Here We Are Now.
Deep Thoughts with Jack Handy.
Oh, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Somebody has to lampoon this show with the most obnoxious human being alive, that screaming, you know, guy who screams, this Robin Leach, like, let's go there now. Here we are in the fantastic home of Lorne Michaels and Amagansett. Get rid of that guy. There are a few people I'd like to impersonate. Peter Graves. You like Gladiator movies, Jimmy? William Shatner.
Space. The Last Frontier.
Final Frontier, asshole.
And I'd like to do an acting class with Charlton Heston, wherein he teaches people how to say his favorite line. Oh, my God. And That's about it. I can also do any dialect. Go ahead. Call out a dialect.
French.
I don't do that. No. Je conseille votre sœur. Hello, I am Philippe Ottman, world famous skier. And this is my friend, Jorge from Greece. It's great to be here. Hey, dance everybody. Oh, and I do pirate voices. And just about anything. Cut tape. Cut tape. Get that camera off me. So, that's about it. Oh.
Oh, they brought out John Lovitz.
All right, Belko. Where's Doberman?
Yes, sir, yes, sir. He's going to be here any second, sir. There he is.
Yep, yep, yep. Please go.
Sir. Sir, I'm sorry. It's a very nice suit you have. Now, we're thinking of changing the uniforms to something like this. That'll look much more appropriate. Don't you think so, sir?
Now, listen, Belko. I've had it with your burlap uniforms. Go get into the official Cotton Army 12.
Sir, yes, sir. Right away, sir.
Hey, you. Anthony Marlboro, A.M., the former Tony Babbo, heir to a bathroom cleanser fortune. He fancied himself the master thespian, the actor's actor. His performance has had more filigree than a Gothic cathedral.
Ah,
Marlboro.
Ah, Mr. Hazard, the great honor to meet you. For you.
What else can we do?
Oh, I know.
Oh, is this a partnered audition?
Oh, the
no, they brought him out here to
test him.
Mm-hmm. Just to see how we work with a second person.
Hello, Harry.
Let us see. Listen, I've got some news for you. Your contract isn't being renewed. The studio's letting you go.
Level with me. If you're unhappy with my work, tell me now.
All right. Everyone says you're the worst actor in town.
Don't leave me hanging by a thread. If you're unhappy with my performance, just give it to me straight.
All right, you're through. Do you hear me through? You'll never work in this town again. Your life is finished.
What's the word on the street?
Are you? Well, there's a part. Actually, there's a part coming up, a Japanese movie. Godzilla.
I'll take it.
All right, good.
What do I have to do?
Well, they need some people to be squished between his toes. Think you can handle it?
Listen, Harry. When we made Nosedive, I was the number one B-movie actor in Hollywood. And now you're going to have me crushed by a giant lizard? Come on, Harry!
I tear you through! Get out! Get out!
Next.
That was pretty good.
All right, Jimmy Fallon, Dana Carvey, Andy Kaufman, Gilda Radner, Tracy Morgan, Will Ferrell, you already, Jim Brewer.
That might be the full Will Ferrell one though. The get off the shed is the funniest part of that. That cinched in the audition. They actually said,
yeah,
that's it. We're good.
Shed. Okay? Damn shed!
Yep.
Off the shed!
Yep, this is it.
We got hot dogs.
You might
too,
want to rewind
want.
It a bit.
This is you didn't know you had. Now get off the shed! But, yeah, it was a anybody want a burger? Who wants a burger? These are just about done here. Get off the goddamn shed! Off the shed! We got hot dogs, too, if you want. Yeah, who wants... Anybody want a hot dog? You don't eat pork, do you? Yeah. No, that's fun. That's fun. It's also a funny game, isn't it? Yeah. It's hard, it's expensive, and yet we keep playing it. Huh? What's up with that? It's kind of funny. Get off the goddamn shed! Off the shed! Get off the shed!
Didn't this actually make it up into Saturday Night Live?
Shed!
There was only three people in the audition. That was all of them clapping.
All right.
I think he did the Harry Carey impersonation right after that.
Yeah.
But as soon as the first sketch, as soon as they saw he could do absurdity. No, he didn't. I know he did it eventually.
This is Duckweiler.
Oh.
Please hold all my calls. I'll be busy for the next half.
Well, the cat one was first. That's weird.
Hey,
no, they did it last on this video.
Highly edited then.
Yeah. And
yeah, the Harry Carey impersonation was the cinch. They're like, okay. But they were all the three of them, they said they you can't hear them laughing on it because they were like crying. Like
just his ability to switch from conversational to yelling at your kids.
Get off the shed!
Is something all three of them had to do before. Yeah. No, yeah, that's great. Yeah, Tony, get out of there. Get out of there now.
Am I ready? Dave is ready. Dave, you ready? Okay, all right.
Are they ready?
Now they're ready.
Who's this?
Okay, I'm going to do some loosening up exercises. Take to the right. Okay, take to the left. A double take to the right. And a double take to the left. Okay, let's...
Oh, he's doing it like he's at the desk doing the...
Right eyebrow, up, down, up, down, up, down, and start. Okay, left, up, up, down, up, down, up, down. Okay, up, down, up, down. Fine, good. All right? Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Saturday Night Show. The show is live. The show is not on tape. So all the mistakes that you... All the mistakes happening on this show are real. We don't plan anything.
How do you know what he did?
Because everything is
me. He sneezed. It's fucking hilarious.
Okay, Wally? All right. With tape, we have the advantage of editing some things that don't work. With live television... Anything goes on that you want on.
Oh, sticking toilet paper to his eyeballs right now.
Okay. How about some Brando?
Oh. For God's sakes, Charlie. Don't you remember that night in the garden you came down and you said, kid, an ancient night? Night. Oh, Charlie. It was you, Charlie. It was you. You was my brother, Charlie. You should have taken care of me or something. It could have been somebody. It could have been a contender.
How about Godfather?
Right.
Okay. Okay. This is how Marlon Brando did his screen test for The Godfather.
Oh! Killer angle.
And don't do that again.
He put the...
the napkins in his mouth.
I want to thank him for inviting me to the meeting. Sadly, I found this in Brooklyn. Bazzini. But I want this to be known. If anything could happen to my son, it's HDS to have an unfortunate accident. Like if he was to be hanged in a cell, I'm gonna hold some of the people in this room responsible.
Huh?
Teddy, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Don't talk to me that way!
I want to know if they have Chris Farley's.
No.
Oh, that would be ridiculous.
No, they just had the ones that I read there. Jim Brewer, Tracy Morgan, Gilda Radner. Andy Kaufman, Dana Carvey, Jimmy Fallon, Phil Hartman. Oh, but yeah, we ran out of stuff to talk about 10 minutes early, didn't we?
Yeah.
What do you say we just kill it and
call it a night?
I don't know. I think I'm still worn out from the week. I don't know. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. You're listening live on The Mix.
Can't end the show till you build a rack for it.
Now, yeah, I got to build a rack. Hold on. Yeah. I got your rack right here.
Did you bring nails, Matt?
Oh, you forgot the nails, Frank.
Yep.
Epic fail.
Oh, shit, that was loud. I thought I turned that off. Yeah, I don't know. We just ran. I don't know. I guess we didn't want to do politics this week because we didn't want to go 7 hours. So we're done. Thanks for listening. We're live on the mix.fm. You can find us on TuneIn, The Mix Talk. See everybody next week.
We're shortchanging you motherfuckers. Get over it.
Get over it.
We've been doing overtime forever, you fuckwads.
Don't call them that. They're our listeners.
They might be nice people for all we know. I'm just assuming they're not.
If they're listening to us, they can't be very nice people.
These guys are entertaining. You are a sick person.
You are some sort of animal.
Sad, sad little man. All right, everybody. See you later. Bye.